Pianos and Pianos and the unique technique Accelerated Piano Method guarantees you'll be playing exciting songs with both hands in just 8 weeks. Click on the video now to go to their website. The unique technique Accelerated Piano Method, only at Pianos and Pianos.
Democrats agreed to support a bill if the cost went down and the public option was modified.
I would like to think we just wore them down.
In the Senate, some moderate Republicans are involved in the Finance Committee talks, and they report they're closing in on a deal, too. A bill from the House version, but one they say will cover all of the uninsured.
I'm Peter Mayer, live at the White House. That universal coverage is among President Obama's top goals, but some of the evolving congressional proposals would drop another presidential priority, a government-sponsored insurance option. He defended the idea yesterday in North Carolina and appearances in Virginia.
Nobody is talking about some government takeover of health care. I'm tired of hearing that.
Mr. Obama complains about misinformation on talk radio, cable, and the Internet. But the public is clearly engaged on this issue that hits home for every American.
I'm Steve Kathan. The latest CBS News New York Times poll finds more than 70% of us believe health care costs will rise whether or not a reform package passes. Our director of surveys, Sarah Dutton.
59% of Americans say that the proposals being considered by Congress would not help them. 31% think those proposals.
And about the chances for reform to succeed this year, 40% don't think it will happen, but a slim majority now favors mandatory health insurance for everyone.
They may have been ordered to park their trucks and buses for safety violations, but are they really out of business? Live to CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato, who has the answer.
Hundreds keep rolling by changing their names to evade shutdown orders and avoid large fines. That's the finding of a congressionally ordered study obtained by the Associated Press. The problem came to light after a bus with banned retreaded tires crashed in Texas last summer, killing 17 members of a church group. Since then, the federal agency in charge has increased oversight, but this report says agency computers still aren't fully capable of tracking reconstituted companies. Live in Washington, Barry Bagnato, CBS News.
Just a day after it was defeated, a sweeping measure that would tighten oversight of the country's food supplies likely to come up again today. Under House procedures, Democratic leaders have rescheduled a vote on the bill, which requires more government inspections and other monitoring of food manufacturers following a big salmonella outbreak tied to peanuts. It's beer at the White House tonight as President Obama sits down with Harvard professor Henry Louis Gates and Cambridge Police Sergeant James Crowley in hopes of defusing the racially charged controversy stemming from Gates' arrest at his home 2 weeks ago. Here's CBS's Chip Reed.
This meeting was actually Sergeant Crowley's idea. He suggested it to the president. Now all three men will sit around the picnic table on the White House South Lawn and what the White House says it will be a casual meeting and try to learn something from each other and to de-escalate tensions over race.
The first half of this year has seen more Americans lose the roofs over their heads than ever before. CBS News correspondent Peter King has that story.
More than 1.5 million households have received foreclosure notices since January. It's a new record, says RealtyTrack Senior VP Rick Sharga.
One trend is that we are continuing to see a concentration of foreclosure activity in the sand states, in areas like California, Nevada, and Arizona, and Florida.
But the growing trend is foreclosure driven by rising unemployment as places like Boise, Idaho, and Fayetteville.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. AM760.net.
Look for from Consumer Reports, Cooling Your Home. I'm Ernie Sprans. The most common mistake people make when it comes to air conditioners is getting the wrong size. Underestimate your cooling needs and you could end up sweating. Overestimate and you'll have a cold, damp space. Before installing a central air system, have a contractor do a load calculation to determine the required cooling capacity. This step is an important one as well if you're upgrading an existing system, since changes made to improve your home's energy efficiency, such as replacing windows or adding insulation, can reduce your cooling needs. On the other hand, if you've added living space, you might need more cooling. After the required cooling capacity has been determined, focus on installation. Adding a central system is relatively straightforward if you already have duct work for your heating. But if your home doesn't have ducts, adding them can be expensive and messy. If you're in this camp, consider a split ductless system instead. Split ductless systems are similar to central air in that they can cool multiple rooms but need no duct work. Choosing a reliable central air system is crucial because breakdowns are inconvenient and costly. According to our latest product reliability survey, Trane, the market leader, along with Rheem and Rood, were less likely to need repairs than those from Goodman and Heil. Of course, central air isn't right for every home. Recommended window air conditioners in our next report. I'm Ernie Sprans for Consumer Reports, online at consumerreports.org.
Ladies and gentlemen,
presenting the one, the only,
entertaining, 30 Rock is leading the way at this year's Emmys. The Tina Fey comedy, which is set behind the scenes of a fictional TV show, has been nominated for a whopping 22 awards, beating off competition from shows including The Office, Family Guy, Mad Men, and Flight of the Conchords. The ceremony will take place in L.A. on September 20th.
By the way, Bill Press, no intellectual giant.
I enjoyed his company. He had a warmth and brash humor that made up for his constant references to a former L.A. life. The retinue of women who supposedly still called him long distance every night. His past football exploits. The celebrities he knew.
This is the Bill Press Show.
Out of many, we are one. That while we breathe, we hope. And where we are met with cynicism and doubt, and those who tell us that we can't, we will respond with that timeless creed that sums up the spirit of a people. Yes, we can.
Roll out the barrel. Beer diplomacy at the White House tonight. Around the picnic table with the president, the professor, and the policeman. Oh, to be a fly on the picnic table. Hello, everybody, and a big welcome to this Thursday edition of the Bill Press Show, Thursday, July 30. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's good to see you, and we appreciate your joining the crowd this morning here as we take our take a whack at the issues of the day and give you a chance to talk back. 866-55-PRESS, our toll-free number, 866-55-77-377. Big day today, and we have a big agreement on health care yesterday at the White House on the House side. They're still working on the Senate Finance Committee to get their legislation together. They promise that we will see it soon, maybe by tomorrow, certainly by next week, which is the last week they're going to be here. And the president back from his two health care forums yesterday, one in Virginia, one in North Carolina, to get ready for his big meeting tonight with Professor Gates and Officer Crowley. So we've got it all covered for you, got our eye on all of it, and I'll be down at the White House today for the White House briefing as well. On the website, BillPressShow.com, something new for you today. We've got, in addition now to those the email links for the senators who have not yet committed to the public plan option, we've decided we've got to start focusing on those Blue Cross Democrats. They call themselves Blue Dog Democrats, but we know who's paying their freight, the insurance companies. That's why we call them Blue Cross Democrats. They're the ones that need the pressure now. And just posted on our website this morning are the links to the leaders of the Blue Dog Democrats. And the message to them has got to be, get with the program. The message to them has got to be, remember, you are Democrats, you are not Republicans, you're supposed to be working for the president, with the president, and for the American people, not against us. And so support health care reform legislation, do it now, all on our website, BillPressShow.com. Thanks to the great teamwork here, Peter Ogburn and Dan Henning, good work, guys.
Hi there, Bill.
All right, ready to go.
Always. Yes, sir.
And as we discussed yesterday, boy, We talked yesterday about this Virginia Tech study that showed that people who are texting while driving, it's bad enough to be talking on your cell phone, but I do that, I must admit, not handheld. Texting, never. There's a Virginia Tech study showed that texting people who drive truck drivers driving while texting.
Yeah.
Boy, that really scares me.
Yeah.
23% more likely to have an accident. So yesterday they introduced legislation in the Senate to say that calling on states to ban texting while driving, and if the states don't do it, it's like if they don't have a 55-mile-an-hour speed limit, they can't get federal highway funds. From now on, if the states don't pass legislation, I guess within a year or so, they'll give them some time, which will ban texting while driving, they will lose their highway funds. legislation sponsored by New York Senator Chuck Schumer.
Get your hands off the cell phone and back on the wheel. The risks are too great.
Pretty good advice, I think. Succinctly said. No texting while driving.
I mean, honestly, though, the idea that someone thinks that they can text and drive, type and drive, is insane. Mm-hmm. It's not that hard.
Let me tell you something. Don't go there.
Yeah.
No, don't go there. You were encouraging irresponsible, unsafe behavior by saying that.
I just
want to point out, it's really dangerous.
I honestly think that there are people who can make a or take a call and drive at the same time, even holding your phone and driving. I don't think that's as big of a deal, but I hear the argument. I cannot listen to anybody that will try and defend that you can text, look at a keyboard, and use your hands to type and drive at the same time.
Particularly because there's little things that, I mean, the keys are so...
There's no way that you can be a responsible driver and do that.
Got it. I totally agree. Chuck Schumer, you're onto something here. All right. Hey, we've got coming up a little bit later in the show, our... Daily cabinet member. No, not really, but we've had several cabinet members on, and today is the first time for the Labor Secretary, Hilda Solis, good friend of mine from California. And yes, we'll bring you up to date on the latest on health care reform. You might say we're making progress, yeah, but in what direction? But first...
is the Full Court Press.
Other headlines making news this Thursday morning. The Hill newspaper is out with its annual list of Capitol Hill's most beautiful people. Topping the list is Albuquerque Democratic Congressman Martin Heinrich. Some Bill Press Show favorites include number 5 on the list, California Congresswoman Maxine Waters.
How about that? Maxine Waters.
Also,
the 50 most beautiful. Number 5.
She's number 5. Mm-hmm. And also in the 50, Congresswoman Betsy Markey of Colorado, Jackie Speier of California.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And she's been in studio.
She's been in studio here.
Mm-hmm.
And who has a Bill Press mug.
And then beyond Republican Congressman Aaron Schock and Senator Richard Burr, the list is filled with mostly young Hill staffers.
You mean Michelle Bachmann didn't make it?
No. No, she didn't.
Oh. Wow.
Turns out Michael Jackson's personal doctor was heavily in debt, just like his star patient. Las Vegas Review-Journal reporting Dr. Conrad Murray is more than $100,000 behind on the mortgage payments for his country club home in Sin City. That's the same house which authorities are searching for evidence that he gave Michael a hospital-grade anesthetic to help him sleep, which may have killed the singer.
That guy is in trouble.
He's in real trouble.
And the biggest problem for Bill Gates these days, the computer mogul, is he's got too many friends. The Uber billionaire closed his Facebook account earlier this month because he couldn't keep up with all his friends' requests.
Oh, God.
Bill thought it was a hassle picking through the faces for the folks that he actually knew and wanted to be friends with on Facebook. He said at one point he was sitting on about 10,000 Facebook friend requests. He said it was too much trouble, so he gave up.
Well, good for him.
Yeah.
Don't worry, I'm not going to ask him to be my friend.
There's so many people who have dropped Facebook and dropped Twitter. But, you know, we have still our Facebook account.
We do, and we have people who accept those friends for us.
Facebook
search, just first search Bill Press on Facebook.
And I have given in to the Twitter frenzy and have agreed to Twitter, but only from the White House. And there will be a press briefing today. It was none yesterday, so I'll be back there today. Tweeting. Tweeting.
I'm looking forward to your twits.
Tweets. Twitter.com/BP Show.
Okay. And you can keep up with the press briefing.
Just go to BillPressShow.com. By the way, that's where we have the link to the Twitter thing. You can be our friend there.
Okay. And how do people find that? The Twitter.
Just go to our page, BillPressShow.com. You'll see the Twitter thing.
All right. Got it. And that's up to me to start Twittering, whatever the hell it is this afternoon. On healthcare, action on three fronts yesterday. We've been talking about this a lot, and you have been so active, and you care so much about it. Wanted to bring you up to date. Action on three fronts yesterday. President Obama took the day off, basically, to go out. I mean, not a day off, but went outside of Washington to spend the day holding two town hall meetings on health care, first in Raleigh, North Carolina, then in Bristol, Virginia. And while he was there, he said, okay, you know, the lawmakers say, some of them say, well, we're not sure what's in this bill. We haven't read it yet. We haven't had time. The president said, hey, you want me to help you through it? I'm all ready.
If they want to come over to the White House and go over line by line what's going on, I will be happy to do that.
He'll sit down with them at the picnic table if necessary. Go over line by line what's in the legislation and tell them why it's a good plan for America. Meanwhile, again, action in on the Hill on two sides, the House side and the Senate side. First, on the Senate side, the chairman, Max Baucus, still leading this committee of six, subcommittee of six, or a little rump caucus of six, three Democrats, three Republicans, who are trying to come up with the Senate, hammer out the Senate Finance Committee's plan. And Max Baucus is still confident that he can get some bipartisan support.
There are some in the public leadership who do want to kill health care reform. But there are many others in the Republican Party who do want health care reform.
Yeah, they do want health care reform as long as there is no public plan option, no universal coverage, and no employer mandate. And it looks like Max Baucus is willing to drop all three of those in order to get some Republican votes. Why? And why is, maybe I understand why he wants to do that, because he gets so much money from the insurance companies, but why is he getting away with it? Why is Harry Reid letting him get away with it? And on the House side, progress of sorts yesterday. You know, the three different House committees have basically come up with the same plan. It's a good, strong plan. It's a plan that's just about 100% what the president wants. A plan that would pay for health care through a surtax on the wealthiest of Americans and would include a strong public plan option. It's gotten actually out of two of those three committees, but the third committee, the Energy and Commerce Committee, chaired by Henry Waxman from California, hasn't been able to pass the legislation because these so-called blue dog Democrats have held it up. Well, yesterday, Mike Ross, negotiating for the Blue Dog or Blue Cross Democrats with Henry Waxman, they reached an agreement. They cut $100 billion. You lose track of billion, millions. But if the plan was a trillion, they cut $100 billion out of the $1 trillion health care plan by exempting certain small businesses. And they reached an agreement that they will let the bill come out of committee and take action on it as soon as they come back from their August recess. Here is Mike Ross, Blue Dog from Arkansas.
We believe every member of Congress should have the opportunity to not only read the bill, but to spend the month of August visiting with their constituents about it.
Yeah, visiting with their constituents about it. Okay. So let's visit with them. You know, if you're an American, you're a constituent of any member of Congress. They're there to represent their district, but also to represent all Americans. So we've shifted our focus a little bit on our website because we think now we got to start applying the heat to the Blue Cross Democrats. And once again, we've made it as easy for you as we can. We've got on the website, front page of the website, as of just about an hour ago, the leaders. There are 56 blue who identify themselves as Blue Dog Democrats, Blue Cross Democrats. We've got the list up for you with the links of the leaders of the Blue Dogs. And then if you click to the next page, we've got the entire list of Blue Dog Democrats up for you, all 56. And so now's the time. Let's get to these Blue Dogs and let's tell them, hey, don't forget who you are. Don't forget who got you where you are. Where you are, and don't forget whom you're there to fight for. It's fight for the American people, fight for universal health care, fight for a public plan option. Start acting like a Democrat and stop acting like a Republican. Whatever, that'd be my message. Whatever your message is, we got to focus on those Blue Dogs, because I still think on this health care reform, despite, and I think yesterday just underscores it. We got the tail wagging the dog. You've got the minority ruling and controlling the majority, and the majority is letting them get away with it. By the minority, I mean the Republicans in the House or the Senate, particularly in the Senate. Republicans in the House are basically doing nothing. But Republicans like Chuck Grassley and others, Mitch McConnell in the Senate, are having much too much control and influence over what's happening on health care. By the minority, I mean the Blue Cross Democrats in the House, who should not have all the power that they had. And I also mean the conservative senators, so-called moderate senators, in the Senate. So instead of the liberal progressive majority who supports the Obama, what Obama wants, who have put together a great bill in the Senate and in the Senate Help Committee, and have put together a great bill in the House in three different committees, instead of those, that great majority having its way and getting that bill passed and getting to the president with all the good things in it, we've let the minority take over, and the minority is insisting so far on the only way they're going to vote for it is to get rid of the public plan option, get rid of universal coverage, and get rid of the employer mandate. If we do that, as far as I'm concerned, you might as well just shelf health care reform. It is not worth doing unless we provide some competition to the insurance companies in terms of a pub, and the only way to do that is a public plan option. So unless it's going to be all single payer, there's got to be a public plan option, or you know what? It's better to have no health care bill, I believe, than a health care bill that the Republicans are going to vote for. That's where we are. Progress, you can call it progress. I don't. 866-55-PRESS, 866-55-7737.
I want every American to know this. We will rebuild. We will recover. And the United States of America will emerge stronger than before.
The official morning show of the Obama generation. The Bill Press Show.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk. AM760.net. The best age for your child to learn to read is during the first 5 years of life. Kathleen discovered this fact firsthand.
A friend of ours recommended the Your Baby Can Read series when we had our first child, Jacob. Never thought anything of it. We plopped him down in front of it.
Your Baby Can Read worked amazingly well.
When Jacob was 3 years old, he was reading at second grade level. He turned five in July, went to kindergarten, and in 3 weeks he was moved to first grade.
Kathleen knows it's no coincidence.
Because we have three children and all are reading on a high level. School is very easy. Straight A students. Maybe one or two children, but all three, probably a successful video. So bam, it worked.
Did Kathleen have to work at it?
No, I didn't have to do a thing. Your Baby Can Read definitely gives them a life skill that can never be taken away from them. It's been invaluable.
For a limited time, you can receive a completely risk-free trial of the Your Baby Can Read program. Call now and we'll also include three free learning gifts with your risk-free trial. Call 1-800-790-6108. 800-790-6108. 800-790-6108.
We all know that there's nothing worse than having to wait in line to go potty. So spare a thought for the astronauts on board the International Space Station who are having to do just that after one of their toilets broke. As teams of specialists in Houston and Moscow work on a solution, the 13-member crew also have the option of using low-tech and rather crude collection bags from the Apollo era. When it comes to operating systems for your computer, you don't really have many options. After Windows, Linux, and Mac OS X, you'll struggle to think of any more. Thankfully, the guys at Google want to add one more to the list, Chrome. Based on their 9-month-old web browser of the same name, Chrome will initially be created for low-cost netbooks and will be created with the help of the open-source programming community.
America's Next Top Model.
The winner of American Idol.
Dr. Drew has his work cut out for him.
Brace yourselves for a bit of idol drama. Paula Abdul may not be returning for a 9th season. According to her manager, contract negotiations have stalled. And, as he told the LA Times, Paula is hurt and angry about the whole situation. There are even reports that she was reduced to tears after receiving tweets of support by her fans. Yes, she interwept. Idol returns in January.
America's Next Top Model.
The winner of American Idol.
Dr. Drew has his work cut out for him.
As the first season of Discovery Channel's Pitch Men drew to a close, infomercial star and series frontman Billy Mays passed away in his sleep at the age of 50. The series followed Mays and his longtime business partner and fellow pitchman Anthony Sully Sullivan as they attempted to market new inventions and products. No word yet on whether Pitchman will be renewed for a second season.
This is the Bill Press Show.
25 minutes after the hour. Happy Thursday. By the way, a little update on our own project on the website. Blanche Lincoln from Arkansas, Democratic Senator. Her name is coming off the list because, as of yesterday, she now says she supports a public plan option. So you see, those emails and phone calls do make a difference. I think that's the third senator from our list that we've taken off the list because they have had a change of heart after they've heard from so many of you. Maria Cantwell, by the way, remains on the list. We hear a lot of people from a lot of people in Washington State who say Maria Cantwell is open to a public plan option. That's what she's telling people. That's not the same, folks. No, being open to it, that's wishy-washy. No, she's got to be for it if she wants to come off the list. Here's Ron calling from Pensacola, Florida. Ron, what do you say? Good morning.
Hey, I'm all for universal health care or public plan option, but nobody has been able to explain to us, for those that have good insurance and that can pay for it, how if two people, one doesn't have insurance and another one does, how the one person that can afford to pay for insurance is going to have to pay a little bit more money to help the person that doesn't have insurance, and how those two people, if one has insurance and one doesn't, how they're going to get better health insurance for both when only one's paying for two.
Well,
I don't understand that premise in universal health care.
I think you got a little confused, Ron, if I may respectfully suggest it. First of all, you are paying today. If you got health care and you've got a job, whatever, you can afford health care, good for you. But you are paying today for that person who doesn't have health insurance. So by giving that an option to that the public plan option or a subsidy if they need it for that person who does not have insurance to get insurance means that you will not only keep your present plan, but your present plan will cost you less because you're not going to have to be paying for the freeloaders.
But if we already
so it's a win-win.
But if we already have freeloaders in the system.
Well, we're taking them out. That's the point. You're taking them out by extending universal coverage, giving them the option to buy the public plan, and if they can't afford it, they get a subsidy to buy the public plan.
But if there's more people at the trough, how does the service improve?
Because that's the way insurance works, Ron. The more people that are in the system, the less each person has to pay. That's the point. That's what insurance is all about. The bigger the pool, the more money you've got to be able to take care of people, and the less each person has to pay. That's the importance of the public plan option. People who have health insurance today will be able to keep their insurance, and they will pay less for it, okay, because they will not have to bear the cost of those who don't have insurance today.
This is the Bill Press Show.
Mom, I need your help with math.
How can I help?
I just don't get it.
Well, let me see. I don't remember how to do these either.
I'll never pass.
Sound familiar? Test pressures and fear of failing grades haunt many students. As a parent, you want to help, but you're at a loss when it comes to today's math. How can you help your child without spending on pricey learning centers or expensive private tutors? Now there's a proven solution with a Math Made Easy tutorial system designed to improve test scores and get rid of those math test anxieties forever. Summer is the perfect time to strengthen students' math skills and give them a head start on next year's math. Top-notch teachers will coach your child in how to break down math problems into the five essential steps, which will enable your child to master math in almost no time. Best of all, Math Made Easy is affordable for nearly everyone. Your satisfaction is guaranteed. Call us now to get your free trial. Call 866-507-MATH. That's 866-507-MATH.
AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
They run into...
Hello? If your brain's not responding to the signals that you're full, you'll probably continue eating.
Come on, don't be that way.
Eating and eating some more. With Leptothen, you get the message. You are full.
Oh, finally.
Visit GoGetThin.com. That's GoGetThin.com. Or call 888-700-DIET. And for a limited time, buy two bottles of Leptothen and get one free.
Into your business, there were a lot of people with you, standing by your side as you followed your dream. But now that you're established, who's with you? At Wells Fargo, we're with you when you need help. With our business financial review, we'll evaluate your business's needs to help ensure that you have the right tools in place so you can keep doing what you love. We're a small business financial leader, so rest assured that we can help you. Call, click, or stop by and talk with a Wells Fargo banker today. Wells Fargo. Together, we'll go far. Wells Fargo Bank, N.A., member FDIC.
Save money with Bargain Wash at AM760.net. This week, buy a $500 CalSpas gift certificate for only $100. Plus, tons of coupons from businesses all around town, brought to you by Comcast. Click on Bargain Wash at AM760.net.
Consumer Reports, an e-book showdown. I'm Ernie Sprantz. If you're shopping for an e-book reader, as in portable electronic text display, two brands dominate, Sony and Amazon. For the July issue, Consumer Reports compared the Amazon Kindle 2 and Sony Reader PRS 700BC. To start, the Sony requires you to install software on your PC. It's not Mac compatible, and connect via USB to download new content. The Kindle is wireless, connecting automatically and at no extra cost to your Amazon.com account. It took an hour or so to set up the Sony, about 5 minutes for the Kindle. Both have a 6-inch black and white screen. Reading in a range of light conditions is generally fine, though on the Kindle, type and images are rendered more crisply and accurately. As far as navigation, the Sony has a slight edge. Its touchscreen made navigating content easier than with the Kindle's 5-way joystick. The only toss-up is the availability of titles. The Kindle store has 270 titles and counting, far more than Sony's e-book store. And bestsellers cost $9.99, a few bucks less than Sony's usual price. But Sony allows access to 500,000 free public domain titles. The bottom line? The Kindle is easier to use and more versatile. The Sony, worth considering for its touchscreen and nightlight. I'm Ernie Sprantz for Consumer Reports, online at consumerreports.org.
Going online to give researchers the insight only they can provide. Join the IAN Project at IANproject.org.
Turn to the left with AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder. And AM760.net.
This is the Bill Press Show.
33 minutes after the hour of the Bill Press Show here Thursday, July 30. We're coming to you live coast to coast, and it was out on the left coast, oh, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, maybe. I was, for a time, the chair of the Los Angeles County Insurance Commission. My co-chair was an activist from East Los Angeles by the name of Hilda Solis, who went on to run for the California State Assembly successfully, moved up from the State Assembly to the State Senate, moved up from the State Senate to the United States Congress, and, of course, is now the Secretary of Labor under President Obama, taking office at a tough time for working men and women. Proud to welcome her to the show. And, Madam Secretary, with 9.5% unemployment out there, what do you see? Is the stimulus working?
I do. And I have to, you know, just tell you that here in the department, we've already issued $45 billion of the $46 billion that I have been charged with putting out. And most of it, to be honest, went into the unemployment insurance program.
Mm-hmm.
So dislocated workers or folks that lost their jobs could be able to have an extension of that coverage. And that's a really important aspect, because not only did the recovery program help provide that immediately, because we should have been doing that a long time ago, quite frankly. This recession has been here since December of 2007.
Yeah.
We didn't just get here. And it's going to take a while to get out. And our job here is to provide assistance to those people who lost their jobs, but also employment opportunities by retraining. And we're doing a lot of programming to help provide funding for renewable energy jobs, high-tech jobs, healthcare jobs. And that's the other great aspect of my role, that we're putting out about $500 million in green jobs so that we can start training our workforce. That's going to help us cut our dependency on foreign oil and not have to rely on those bogus countries that don't want to provide us with help, but also retrain and kind of look for a whole new 21st century workforce. So I think that's really important. And then healthcare is a growing field, too. That's really where you've seen an uptick in terms of people getting into that arena because people are living longer. And obviously health is a very important part of what we're going to be talking about.
Do you think the president has said that he would not be surprised if unemployment continues to go up and gets over 10%. We've also seen signs that the economy might be turning around a little bit. So do you think we're still looking at 10% or what's your prediction on that?
Bill, I don't have a crystal ball, but I would imagine that, yes, we're probably going to see a little bit more peak in the unemployment. It always lags behind like that.
Yep.
But I will say, like you've just said, that there are some good signs where you see people are getting into homes because of tax incentives and breaks. You know, first-time home buyers can apply for a deduction of up to, I think it's like $8,000. People are turning in their clunkers, their cars. And
which is a great program, I think.
Yeah, and you do see people kind of going out and using their money to go buy items at the retail industry. So you are seeing that happening. And as we see the recovery money coming into play with the bigger projects like infrastructure and transportation and weatherization, those have yet to be fully implemented. So there's still more to come. So let's not be in a hurry to judge it so quickly, you know. We have our critics doing that all the time.
One of the things that will help a lot of families, I know the federal minimum wage just kicked in at a higher level, which is that the level we're going to be at for a while, or is there another bill? I'm not even sure.
I'm not sure about another bill, because now, as part of the executive branch, my job is to make sure that people are getting paid that will now be able to receive that. And there are about 30 states that will be affected. And it's sad, because even at the rate that it has gone up slightly, it's still only about $15,000 annually. So it's not a lot of money, but the impact is so profound, because it does affect a majority of single-headed household women who work and support their kids. And right now that extra money is going to go right back into our economy. They'll spend the money for school goods, for gasoline, for utilities, and hopefully the rent. And, you know, it's just a good way of helping to put another shot of support into the economy, in the local economy.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, this is not money that's going to go into some savings account, right, or into some CD. This is going to go right out into the economy. We're talking, of course, with Labor Secretary Hilda Solis here on the Bill Press Show. So, Madam Secretary, most of the talk, of course, and the big issue now is health care. And, you know, a lot of American working men and women are looking to see and want to know how this is going to impact them. So let's say they're listening now, they're on the job, they've got health insurance through their job, right? How are they going to be impacted? Do they risk losing that insurance?
Well, if they choose to keep their insurance and have their same coverage, no one is going to force them to drop it or to change it. That is something that they will have a choice about. What this bill does, and I'm calling it the health insurance reform, because really we're trying to drive down the high cost of health care, because insurance companies have been charging over and above what they should have. And that's why you hear people complaining that, oh, my copayment went up, and yet I'm not getting more service or I'm not getting more medicine. And we want to drive that down. We want to cut out the fraud. We want to cut out duplication of services. We want to make sure that we're paying for services that affect the patient and not administrative and other costs that have nothing to do with how you administer health care.
Should there be an employer mandate as part of health reform legislation so that every employer, at least above a certain salary level or number of employees, should be required to provide health care benefits?
Well, I think that the House version has some of that in there. But again, that's going to go through a process of negotiation, because the Senate Finance Committee has an entirely different kind of take on some of that. So I'm sure that there's going to be a lot more discussion. But the opportunity and challenge for us is to get people to talk to their members of the House and of the Senate during the August recess, because much of what will take place, at least in the House version, won't come back to until after August. So people have a have an opportunity to really press for things that they care about with their members of Congress and the Senate.
But in terms of achieving universal coverage, right, so that every American has the access, at least, to, to get affordable health care, starting at the workplace, is a place to start, I guess, is what I'm asking. Don't you, don't you agree?
Exactly, yes. And most people do get their health care through their place of employment. And if they're satisfied, as I said earlier, they can keep that. Mm-hmm. What we don't want to see is that insurance companies continue to turn people away and say, well, you have a pre-existing condition. You have, you know, cancer. You have some other illness. So, therefore, we're going to drop you. Or you have diabetes. So that's just too expensive for us to handle. They won't say that, but they'll drop you or they just won't provide the coverage. And they force you to pay that out of pocket. We're saying no. You have to provide that coverage for that patient.
Now, at one time, there was talk about taxing health care benefits that workers get at the workplace. Is that still alive, do you know?
Or? Well, I know the Senate, I think, is still looking at that, but that's a bipartisan discussion that they're having in the Senate side, which is not necessarily happening on the congressional side. So I know that the president really wants to continue to put the pressure on for them to work something out. And if they hear from people that are they're saying, hey, we don't want people to get, you know, their current plan taxed. It's not fair. And to a certain extent, you know, I agree because, you know, in collective bargaining agreements, the unions work really hard to get those health care benefits for their employees. They have to give up something, and usually it's wages. So why not continue to support that? So I'm hoping that people will call their people from Congress and the Senate and just really let them know how they feel. And I think you're a good vehicle to help us do that.
Well, I appreciate that. We've already been putting the message out there because, you know, one thing for sure is that the other side is going to take advantage of this August recess to really try to kill the health care reform.
Oh, Bill, all you have to do is, and you know this, follow the money. Follow where the, you know, and it's a sad situation because it's really not about us. It's about the American people and folks that want better health care and cost containment. And that's what we're striving for. And the insurance folks just want the status quo. And they don't want to compromise. That's why they want to kill any bill. And they are using some Republican members, in my opinion, to go after the president and say, oh, we're going to stump them. We're going to make them fall. And it's just going to fall flat. And I don't believe that. I think the public is smart.
Now, I have to ask you, so this weekend, we just celebrated the six-month anniversary of President Obama in the White House, and this weekend, members of the cabinet and the top White House staff, I learned this morning, are going to be meeting at a little retreat at Blair House across the street, across the street from the White House. So what is this secret cabinet summit all about, Madam Secretary?
Well, I don't think it's a secret. I just think it's a way of everybody touching base now that, you know, we've been office, you know, been in office now 6 months. I've been in for about five, and I'm still, you know, catching up and getting involved. And I've been traveling. I think I told you this. I've been traveling around the country quite a bit.
Right.
And just have learned so much. And I think there's an opportunity for us to share our experiences with each other as we roll out and improve the programs that we're responsible for and how we really get the public to understand that the recovery money is working and that it is going to take time, but there are some very positive things that we can learn from each other.
So it's not the president taking everybody behind the woodshed, right?
I hope not. I haven't heard that.
All right, well, we'll find out. Okay. Well, have a good retreat this weekend, and thanks so much, Madam Secretary, for joining us today.
Thank you, Bill.
The road to that prosperity is still long. We will hit our share of bumps and setbacks before then.
The official morning show of the Obama generation.
Well, we must remember that we can get there if we travel that road as one nation, as one people.
This is the Bill Press Show.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk. AM760.net.
Ask Sherwin-Williams.
Should I have a party this weekend?
Yeah, a painting party. Just visit your local Sherwin-Williams paint store and save 25% on Duration and Duration Home paints July 26th through August 2nd. And tell your friends that pizza tastes better after a job well done. Got a question? There's nothing you can't ask Sherwin-Williams. Visit SherwinWilliams.com for store locations. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
A moonlight carriage ride down a cobblestone road, but you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and with every bump, the pain drives you insane.
I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H cream with maximum strength pain relief still relieves burning and itching and adds maximum strength pain relief on contact. It's the most complete Preparation H relief ever.
Don't you love carriage rides?
I do now.
Preparation H cream, pain relief on contact. Use as directed.
AM 760, progressive traffic.
From Consumer Reports, savings round the clock. I'm Reese Sprantz. Early birds don't get only worms anymore. They're eligible for discounts on all kinds of stuff. Later risers needn't feel slighted, though. They'll probably find other deals. Especially in times like these, with merchants scrambling to get customers in the door, time-of-day discounts are plentiful. Here's a roundup of some timely bargains. Air travel. The cheapest time to fly depends on your route and other factors, though you'll often find the least expensive seats are on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Saturday flights. The best time to book a bargain seat is midweek, Tuesday afternoon through Thursday. Bowling. For the best rates, go before 9 or 10 a.m., or sometimes after 9 p.m. Car washes. Deals can be had if you drive in early, before 8 or 9 a.m. Farmers markets. Sellers rarely want to haul their bounty back to the farm, so look for deals near closing time. Golf. Tee off by 7 or 8 a.m. or after 3 or 4 p.m. Tennis. You'll often save by starting your game as early as 6 or 7 in the morning or late, like after 9 at night. Movies. Matinees, usually in the morning or early afternoon, are a traditional money saver. And finally, restaurants. Even some high-end places now offer early bird specials and other tasty inducements. Look for lunches starting before 11 and dinners at 4 or 5. Night owl specials often begin around 9. I'm Ernie Sprantz for Consumer Reports, online at consumerreports.org.
For a day of family fun to support girls with Rett syndrome. Registration for the 4th annual Strollathon begins at 8:30 a.m. The Strollathon runs from 10 to 1. Enjoy live entertainment, auction items, carnival activities, and more. Help us roll our way to a cure August 8th at Clement Park.
Why are you so distant?
Did you have to shoot anyone?
You gonna get a job now or what?
No one knows what it's like to come back from Iraq or Afghanistan unless they were there. Join other veterans at communityofveterans.org, brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the official morning show of the Obama Generation. This is the Bill Press Show.
30 minutes before the top of the hour here, the Bill Press Show. And just quick survey of a couple of stories that we haven't had a busy day, haven't had a chance to keep on top of. What with Dennis Kucinich and Hilda Solis and health care and cash for clunkers taking up our time here. But one more top Republican weighed in yesterday on this stupid birthers issue. I mean, you got Rush Limbaugh, Lou Dobbs, Glenn Beck. They're all over this thing saying President Obama can't be a legitimate president because he wasn't born in the United States. No evidence at all to support that. Yesterday, Roy Blunt, remember, he was the minority leader in the House for a while, stepped down as that, or he's the number two guy, I guess, among House Republicans. Now he's running for Senate out of Missouri. And a reporter tracked him down yesterday on the Hill and ask him about this whole issue. You would think somebody running for the Senate would say, oh, that's just nonsense, I'm not going to go there. No, he joins the birthers club.
What I don't know is why the president can't produce a birth certificate. I don't know anybody else that can't produce one. And I think that's a legitimate question. No health records, no birth certificate.
He's produced a certificate of live birth, right?
I don't believe so.
And, of course, the president has produced his birth certificate. It was up on the Internet, and people said, oh, well, it's only an electronic version of it. The Hawaii health director just a few days ago said he actually went back to the vault where they have the original birth certificate stored and looked it up, and there it is, the birth certificate for Barack Obama. I mean, these guys are just nuts. They're nuts, nuts. Nothing you're going to say is going to convince them otherwise. For somebody like Roy Blunt to weigh in on this is embarrassing. Up in New York City, this program, I think, is very, very interesting. New York City has a policy where for homeless families, homeless people in the city of New York, if they can show the city of New York that they have another destination where they can go, and they've got accommodations, they've got somebody where that they can live with, the New York City will pay transportation to get them there. So far, they've sent people off one-way tickets, airline tickets, to 24 different states and 5 different continents, including they spent $6,500 to send a family to Paris. Mayor Bloomberg said yesterday, hey, it's cheaper than keeping them in New York.
Given the cost of providing shelter for a family, this saves the taxpayers of New York an enormous amount of money. Also, keep in mind, nobody's forcing these people to go. They want to go.
Now, you know, I know some homeless advocates are saying this is just shifting the problem from one city to another. Well, it's really not, in the sense that these people have another place to go to. That's part of the program when they get to that other city. And it costs $36,000 to keep a homeless family in a housing shelter in New York. The city's saving a lot. Even if they're spending $1,000 to fly them somewhere else, they end up saving a lot of money. I don't know. I don't know about you. I think this is a program that is pretty creative and makes a lot of sense, and hopefully helps some people out by if New York is just too big for them to handle. They come to New York thinking they're going to get a job, everything's going to be great, and they find out they can't handle it. I think helping them get back home out of New York is a good thing to do. And yesterday, the death of one more celebrity, this man of the cloth, the Reverend Ike, dying at 74. The Reverend Ike, a minister who... He didn't think that God loved the poor so much as God loves the rich, and he wanted everybody to be rich. The New York Times this morning in his obituary quotes Reverend Ike telling his parishioners, quote, close your eyes and see green. Yes, he said, here's what you ought to be looking at. Money up to your armpits. A room full of money, and there you are, just tossing around in it like a swimming pool. Woo. I got to tell you, that's my kind of preacher.
Taking a bath in money? Sure. I would love it.
They call that the prosperity gospel. And I think Reverend Eichen, I think he invented it. And also something else he invented, which is about feeling good about yourself. You know, the Catholic Church has that prayer, O Lord, I am not worthy that thou should come under my roof, say but the word, and I shall be healed. O Lord, I am not worthy. Reverend Ike says, yeah, don't give me any of that, O Lord, I am not worthy crap.
You cross yourself up when you pray and ask the presence of God in you for something, and then you say, now, Lord, I know I'm not worthy. You might as well forget it, honey.
Yeah, because you are worthy, and if you follow my advice, you someday will be worth something. Reverend Ike, dead yesterday at 74. And tonight, the big beer summit at the White House between the President of the United States, the professor at Harvard, and the police officer come from the Cambridge Police Department. My parting shot on the beer summit coming up next.
The official morning show of the Obama generation, The Bill Press Show.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk. AM760.net.
I'm living paycheck to paycheck.
We're so far into debt.
All we do is fight about it.
We don't know what to do anymore.
How would you like to get a call finding out that your Visa bill had been reduced from $8,000 to $4,800? What about discovering you had an extra $500 to $1,200 in your budget per month because of what you are saving on your credit card bills? All of these dreams are possible when you make one five-minute call to Jordan McKenna. They will match you to a reputable law firm that can stop harassing collection calls, reduce your monthly payments, and save you literally thousands of dollars off your credit card debt. They work for you, not the credit card company, so you can get the maximum savings possible for your situation. Call for free information now. 800-204-6773. Individual results will vary, so please review all program details and terms. Call 800-204-6773. That's 800-204-6773. 800-204-6773.
In our daily lives, we make many decisions. Life is made up of choices that may seem insignificant at the time, but add up and affect our lives in the biggest ways, like the health of your heart. Heart disease is the number one killer of women. Making the right choices can reduce your risk. Choose to see your doctor. Choose fresh, not fried. Choose to walk. Choose to live. Make the choice to beat heart disease at GoRedForWomen.org.
In so many parts of the world, HIV/AIDS is perpetuating the cycle of poverty. Why care?
My family was so scared they would catch the virus from me. They forced me from the house. But health workers educated them about HIV. Now I have medicines and I'm back at home raising my children.
Why care?
I am powerful.
She has the power to change her world. You have the power to help her do it. Visit care.org.
People trapped by drug or alcohol addiction often feel like there's no hope, no way out. But for every lock, there's a key. And if you have a problem, it's good to know there are real solutions to help you get free. For drug or alcohol treatment referral for you or someone you know, call 1-800-662-HELP. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Energy efficiency interviews are brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Matthew, you know energy-saving light bulbs last 6 times longer than that old bulb in your lamp.
Yeah, well, I don't even live here.
Matthew, dinner's ready.
I never met that woman.
It's your favorite, Matt. Lasagna.
Don't you people knock?
Just give me the energy saver.
Millions of kids are using their energy wisely. What's your excuse? Learn more at loseyourexcuse.gov.
The Parting Shot with Bill Press. This is the Bill Press Show.
And on this Thursday, July 30, my parting shot for today, welcome to the Beer Summit. Yes, this evening at the picnic table just outside the Oval Office on the South Lawn of the White House, President Obama will sit down with Harvard professor Henry Louis Gates Jr. and Cambridge police officer James Crowley. Their agenda, no heavy discussion of racial profiling, insists the White House. They're just getting together for a cold beer, you know, which I think is a good idea. We'd all be better off if Gates and Crowley had sat down for a cold beer last week up in Cambridge. Better a cold beer than a hot brawl on the porch. And as for those who complain about the propriety of a president's drinking beer, I say, get a life. Alcohol has often served a useful purpose in Washington. Franklin Roosevelt used to invite members of Congress to the White House for cocktails every evening. He even made the martinis himself, and sometimes those parties went on till early hours of the morning. From his secret hideaway off the House floor, Speaker Sam Rayburn lubricated legislation through the House by daily lubricating key members of Congress, and his protege, Lyndon Johnson, carried on that practice as Senate Majority Leader and as President. So in offering a cold one this evening, President Obama is continuing a great American tradition. It's just what we need in politics, more beer and less bile. It's my parting shot for today, and we know the beers are going to choose Red Stripe, Blue Moon, and Bud Light. All three will be on the table, the president choosing the Bud Light. I'll be down at the White House briefing this afternoon. I'll get a preview, I guess, of the summit. We'll see, I'm sure, pictures and hear about the summit, and we will have House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer with us. All of that coming up tomorrow.
This is the Bill Press.
When it comes to you.
Heads up, everybody!
Now you can get Comcast high-speed internet with Power Boost for $19.99 a month for 6 months. So that means we really gotta bust our hump. I'm gonna need some experts on this one. So Mixmaster,
what's up?
I need you to handle music downloads.
Now, beats and lyrics, look to me. I'll kick them from your laptop to your MP3.
Big Eddie.
I need you to beef up virus protection.
Sure thing, boss. As soon as I find my brass knuckles.
Shutterbug.
Yuck.
I need you to handle the photo center.
I'll do it now. Fast. Happy.
Maple. See ya.
And White Lightning. Make those download speeds faster than ever.
Done.
Great. Get right on it.
No, I mean, I'm finished. It's done.
Get the biggest value in internet. Comcast high-speed internet with Power Boost lets you download your favorite movies and music lightning fast. And the McAfee security suite is included. Get it all right now for just $19.99 a month for 6 months. Call 1-800-COMCAST today.
Offer ends 7/31/09. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Limited to performance service for new residential customers. After promotional period, regular charges apply. Equipment installation and taxes extra. For more information, visit Comcast.com.
Where is my life headed? Will I find true love?
Should I change careers?
When you have important questions, California Psychics has answers. Over 150 gifted psychics available 24/7, helping people just like you. And California Psychics makes this promise. If your psychic reading isn't the best you've ever had, it's free.
My California Psychic experience was primo. I was just astonished. I never expected that.
Secure and confidential. California Psychics has done over 1 million readings. Just call 1-800-PREDICT. 1-800-PREDICT. And if it's not the best psychic reading you've ever had, it's free.
First, I had the chills and I felt choked up.
Our psychics will help you find love, happiness, and your true life path. Need someone to listen? Call 1-800-PREDICT or visit CaliforniaPsychics.com. 1-800-PREDICT or visit CaliforniaPsychics.com. Remember, if your psychic reading isn't the best you've ever experienced, it's free.
I definitely think California Psychics was the best psychic reading I've ever had.
Jackson's three children. Debbie Rowe, the birth mother of two of the children, will get visitation rights but no money. Catherine Jackson's lawyer, Londell McMillan, spoke to the CBS News Early Show.
There is no situation better for these children than for them to be raised and reared under loving care of Mrs. Catherine Jackson.
A Labor Department report released within the past half hour shows that 584,000 workers filed new unemployment insurance claims last week, more than the week before, but no cause for alarm, says economist Stuart Hoffman.
I do believe that we are finally rounding the bottom of this very long and severe recession this summer.
Healthcare reform seems to be back on track and moving ahead in both the House and Senate, but it's losing ground with a majority of the American public.
59% of Americans say that the proposals being considered by Congress would not help them. 31% think those proposals would help them.
CBS News Director of Surveys Sarah Dutton. Hundreds of Iranian demonstrators have been allowed to march to the cemetery in Tehran where victims of Iran's post-election violence were buried. Los Angeles Times correspondent Borzu Daragahi monitored the march from Beirut.
According to one witness that I've spoken to, police were violent only at the beginning, and then all of a sudden they started apparently cooperating with the mourners.
An Afghan detained at Guantanamo Bay as a suspected terrorist since he was about 12 years old could be free before long. Government lawyers have agreed to release Mohammed Jawad. Defense attorney Jonathan Hafitz.
We're optimistic that we're getting closer to seeing him sent home, but we're not there yet, and we're hoping to get further clarity from the court today.
Court hearing is scheduled to begin about 90 minutes from now. Beer and sober reflection will be on tap at the White House this evening. Live to CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer.
Frank, this is a big part of that teachable moment the president called for following the face-off between Harvard professor Henry Louis Gates and policeman James Crowley. The White House also hopes their picnic table talk under a shade tree near the Oval Office will turn the page on the president's comment that the police acted stupidly in arresting Gates in his own home. The president believes some calm talk over beer will help ease differences, Frank.
Ahead of the opening bell, S&P futures are up more than 10 points. This is CBS News.
This year, Discovery Channel Shark Week puts fear back in the water.
1 minute she was there, the next second she was gone.
And with more attacks, more stories.
It was freaking huge. She came by like a submarine.
And more survivors.
I can still hear that scream.
It'll be over before you know it.
Here it comes, get ready!
Shark Week, fear returns, Sunday at 9. It's all new on Discovery.
Right now at the Home Depot, take 10% off appliances of $398 or more and get free delivery. No rebates, no hassles, no strings attached. We even have free haulaway, which combined can save you up to $79 on top brands like GE, Maytag, and LG. Save not once, but twice with 10% off appliances and free delivery. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Through August 5th in U.S. only, see store for details.
I'm David Kao with an AM 760 local news update. Congressman Jared Polis is spreading the wealth to other rookie legislators on Capitol Hill. Polis has steered nearly $150,000, most of it from his family, to some 30 members of Congress to help with re-election campaigns. Analysts say Polis's monetary support of fellow congressmen will increase his influence in Washington. The Denver Post reports 24 recipients won election from districts which had Republican representatives in 2006. Be prepared for higher cab fares at the airport. The state PUC has approved a 20% across-the-board fare increase. Cab fare from DIA to downtown will rise from $43 to $51. It's the first fare increase in 10 years. Sports, last night's game between the Rockies and Mets postponed in New York because of rain. They'll play a day-night doubleheader today. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News update. Now Todd Parker with Progressive Traffic.
That's where we're looking at a decent trip as you're driving around Denver. We are seeing slowdowns in those usual spots like southbound I-25 on the approach to 84th. 225 also getting sluggish just after you make that Parker curve up towards I-25. Now in the mountains, we've still got some scattered showers falling. As I check on those CDOT cameras, I-70 gets wet and sloppy the further west you get once you get past Georgetown all the way towards Vail. Time for a quick check on today's forecast. Those showers to the west should be rolling in most likely after noon. It's going to be a cloudy day, a high of around 72, cool in the overnight, low dropping down to 53. Currently, it's 54 degrees. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Looking to start the summer off in style? Enjoy attractive values on select Cadillac models, like the most acclaimed luxury SUV ever, Escalade, or the award-winning CTS. The Cadillac Summer Celebration. See your local Cadillac dealer for details.
If your home is over 20 years old, then grab a pen and get ready to write this number down. As a member of Tom Martinez...
Ladies and gentlemen,
presenting the one, the only,
entertaining. Once upon a time, there was this kid who had a body hair problem, discovered he was a werewolf, and that he had some pretty cool basketball skills. Yep, it's 1985, and Teen Wolf is the movie sensation of the year. Wish you could go back and do it all over again? You can't. Warner Brothers Pictures reportedly have begun the development of a Teen Wolf remake. Fashionista Bruno has burst onto the silver screen to very good but not incredible reviews. In this follow-up to 2006's Borat mockumentary, creator Sacha Baron Cohen once again dances perilously close to the edge of the comedy cliff. Prepare for one of the most outrageous, insensitive, elaborate, offensive movies of recent times.
I definitely flirt with SMD. This weather is just bumming me out. Although the mountains look pretty cool today, actually. There's sort of this light haze, or not haze, like cloud cover near them. You can see them peeking through the clouds. It's actually pretty cool. But I'm having one of those weeks. I'm very into, like, routine. Very, very, very into routine. And the whole jury duty thing screwed me up. I ended up not having jury duty yesterday, but I had to write my column a day early, and then it just messed up my whole week. And I know that sounds like really lame and ridiculous, but writing this book that I'm writing, I need to stay on a schedule. And between the weather and having a plan around jury duty, I'm just having a week. I'm also having a week because of what's in the news. So let's get to our news update.
Good evening. I'm Ron Burgundy, and this is what's happening in your world tonight.
A lot of healthcare news today on the national docket. A couple new polls out. New York Times poll reports that President Obama's ability to shape the debate on healthcare appears to be eroding. This is not how I read this poll, but I'm reading the New York Times here. Eroding as opponents aggressively portray his overhaul plan as a government takeover that could limit Americans' ability to choose their doctor and course of treatment. So it's a couple numbers about how Obama's overall approval rating is down, and how what people say they trust him on healthcare is down. His job approval is still at 58%, which is pretty darn high. 49% of Americans say they support fundamental health care change. 33% said the health care system needs to be completely rebuilt. So I don't really understand how the media is creating a narrative out of this that somehow the public doesn't want health care reform because of this poll. The poll found 66% of respondents were concerned that they might eventually lose their insurance if the government does not create a new health care system. And 80% said they were concerned that the percentage of Americans without health care would continue to rise if Congress doesn't ask. And by 55% to 26%, respondents said Mr. Obama had better ideas about how to change health care than Republicans in Congress. So you see right here, you got to read this New York Times story. The headline is, new poll finds growing unease on health plan. And then all the numbers actually say, actually, people pretty much trust Obama. Now, if there has been any erosion in the numbers, here's what I think is going on. One of the numbers that the New York Times doesn't report, but that's in the crosstabs of the poll, 59% say the proposals currently being debated in Congress, they don't believe would help them directly. So how about this premise? How about as the health care bill gets watered down, and as key provisions of the health care proposal, like a public option, like an employer mandate for your employer to provide coverage, as those get stripped out by Congress people bought off by the insurance companies, the public support has gone and started to erode. How about that? I think that's what's going on. The more the public hears that the insurance industry lobbyists are watering this thing down, the more the public says, hey, wait a minute, this might not be so good. And in some other news here from Iraq, Defense Secretary Robert Gates, speaking at an airbase in Turkey, said Wednesday that the United States might accelerate the withdrawal of its forces from Iraq, even as fresh tension there underscores worries about instability after the American troops are gone. I think this is good news. I think the quicker we get out of there, the better. More health care news. A House leadership deal with the so-called Blue Dog Democrats and an aggressive marketing push by Montana Senator Max Baucus, the single biggest recipient, by the way, of health care and pharmaceutical industry cash in Congress, shifted the health care debate sharply towards quote-unquote centrist positions Wednesday, according to the Hill newspaper, and that has sparked threats of rebellion from congressional progressives. Essentially, what happened was the Blue Dogs struck this deal. Seven Blue Dogs have been threatening to hold up the entire bill in the Commerce Committee in the House. And they basically got the public option stripped out, and they weakened the employer mandate. And now congressional progressives, who have signed a letter pledging to not vote for any health care bill without a robust public option, they are threatening to withhold their votes for the bill. On the timetable for health care, AP reports that Obama said Wednesday there will be no vote on proposed health care reform before autumn, a setback that's costing him more political capital with each passing day, so says the Associated Press. I think that's right. The longer this is delayed, and Senator Sherrod Brown of Ohio has said, and I agree with him, that the longer this is delayed, the less chance we will have of passing anything. From California, Wall Street Journal reports Arnold Schwarzenegger turns 62 today. As a birthday present, the former movie star and current governor is getting the lowest approval ratings of his governorship. Only 28% of Californians approve of how Schwarzenegger is doing his job versus 59% who disapprove. Denver Post reports a food safety bill that gives federal authorities sweeping new powers to more quickly contain contamination outbreaks tripped up Wednesday over concerns about its impact on farmers and ranchers. Democrats in the U.S. House considered the Food Safety Enhancement Act of 2009 a shoe-in and brought it to the floor under fast-track rules, and it was delayed. Here's some good news. House Democrats may bring up a highly controversial bill that failed to pass Congress earlier this year that would empower bankruptcy judges to rewrite mortgage terms. This is the old cram-down issue. Congressman Barney Frank, chairman of the House Financial Services Committee, said Wednesday that if the financial industry does not make strides in reducing the number of foreclosures, he would consider once again pushing for the bankruptcy reform measure. And the final piece of national news, you've heard this all day, the national media going crazy over it. Very, very excited. I think it's really a non-story. The president will have Henry Louis Gates and Sergeant Crowley, the officer who arrested the Harvard professor, at the White House for a drink of beer tonight. I think the biggest news out of that that nobody seems to be focused on is the White House's choice of beer. I mean, they are really choosing some real swill. Apparently, Obama will drink Bud Light, which is like, dude, get some taste. You know, I mean, hey. I mean, if you're going to have beer at the White House, you got to do better than Bud Light. I mean, if you're going to go lowbrow, how about PBR?
Might as well, man. PBR is great.
Yeah, I mean, if
or
you...
Just, but he must be watching.
High Life?
High Life, yeah.
You know?
Miller High Life would be good,
champagne
too.
Of beers?
You think they could afford some kind of microbrew or
well,
something?
Right, well, the other three beers that they're thinking about, that they're going to have there sort of for the guests to choose are Beck's, which is...
Decent.
Okay.
German.
Red Stripe.
Jamaican.
Which, that's okay.
Yeah, but those aren't even American beers.
Well, that's right. And Blue Moon. Which, yeah. I mean, come on.
That's a girly beer.
You know, come on. You got to call up the folks in Fort Collins and get some microbrews out there. All right, in Colorado news, Scott McGinnis leads State Senator Josh Penry in an early Republican gubernatorial poll. Magellan Data and Mapping Strategies, a consulting firm that works with Republican candidates, has released a poll on the Republican gubernatorial primary, showing McGinnis with an early lead, but lots of voters still undecided. You can check that out at ColoradoPolls.com. Forbes.com ranks Denver the 13th best city for singles. In more serious news, although that is news, Colorado reported its first death linked to the swine flu on Wednesday, heightening concern about the fall flu season when the strain is expected to surge. Deborah Burton, a 41-year-old El Paso County woman, died Tuesday after being hospitalized at Penrose St. Francis Hospital in Colorado Springs. Competing protest marches in Fort Collins. You can read about them at the Fort Collins Coloradan website. One group pro-healthcare, another group anti-healthcare reform. Labor Department report, the Denver area has lost 55,000 jobs during the year, ended in June, a 4.3% decline. Unemployment in the Denver area, meanwhile, stood at 7.9% in June, up from 7.5% the previous month and 5.1% a year earlier. So these are very, very bad numbers. And the job market is really bad out there. In my family, we're experiencing it right now. My wife, Emily, she just graduated from social work school, and she's looking in the job market now for some work. And it's rough out there. It's really, really rough out there. News from Greeley. The Greeley firefighters and police unions voted Wednesday to relinquish 2010 pay increases to aid the city's ailing budget. Greeley officials approached the unions in June and asked for pay raise concessions. After investigating the city's budget, the unions held separate votes and voted to relinquish those pay increases. So, Greeley police and firefighters taking one for the team. And the final bit of news from the local wire. This from Westward. Social media and tech website Mashable reports that a 15-year-old Colorado boy named Dustin Simontob was able to lead police to his stolen property thanks to a nifty new feature of the iPhone. It's called Find My iPhone, and that's just what it did. Simontob was able to provide police with the address where the stolen phone was located. So they used basically the phone's GPS tracker to find the phone. Little creepy, little weird that they can track exactly where you are, but hey, it was his property. That's your news update.
I'm Ron Burgundy. You stay classy, San Diego.
All right, here's the plan for today, or at least for the first hour. What we're going to do is, after the break, we're going to have one of the key players in the Grand Junction Healthcare Miracle. That's what it's being billed as. Grand Junction, its healthcare system is being looked at as a national model for universal healthcare reform. It has some of the lowest costs and best care in the nation, at least according to the data. And we're going to have on a physician out there who's been a key player in creating that system. That's right after the break. And then we will open up the AM 760 Progressive Dojo to continue our discussion about whether you think you're being underrepresented in the healthcare debate, whether you think there is a racial bias in the healthcare debate, whether you think you are being small d democratically underrepresented in this healthcare debate. That's what will come up after we talk to the folks in Grand Junction about what they're doing out there. Later on in the broadcast, we will also be talking about the controversial issue of needle exchanges. Needles have been in the news a lot lately after the situation at Rose Hospital with the hepatitis C situation. So we will talk about needle exchanges later on in the broadcast. I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk, going up into the 70s today. Rain in the forecast. Let's get a traffic update with John Turk.
Good thing is, Dave, we don't have any accidents as we're getting our metro commute started here for you on a Thursday morning. We do have the normal slow spots. Probably no surprise if you're on southbound 25, you're going to be full up in Northland, beginning at 104th, also after I-70. Also getting busy, southbound 225, Parker Road down to the Tech Center. And C-470 showing some problems on both ends. Heavy jams, Broadway to University on the eastbound side. And if you're traveling westbound, Quincy to Hamden, going to be a little bunched up. Do expect some more traffic around Red Rocks today. Fish in town for four nights, so that's going to be a booger up there. Also seeing things build eastbound 6th Avenue, Federal to 25, and on the turnpike coming to eastbound beginning at Pecos. Forecast, patchy fog and drizzle to start the day, then mostly cloudy with a high around 72. Scattered thunderstorms also on tap for late this afternoon. Current downtown temperature is 54 degrees. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
From roadside assistance to beachside.
Hi, it's Mario, and I recently visited Lauer's Hardwood Showroom, and I love Beetlekill wood products. The all-natural lodgepole pine is environmentally neutral and can be stained or left au naturel with its distinctive blue-hued beauty marks. Lauer's Hardwoods has Beetlekill flooring, paneling, 2x4s, and logs. It's beautiful, price perfect, and environmentally neutral. Visit Lauer's in Lakewood and say Mario sent you and get 10% off. Call them at 303-205-WOOD or lowershardwoods.com.
Hi, this is John Elway. I could have gone anywhere for LASIK, but I selected Icon LASIK right here in Denver. Icon has performed over 65,000 LASIK surgeries in Colorado using the latest custom laser technology. And Icon makes LASIK more affordable starting at $4.99 per eye. Schedule your free LASIK consultation today at 720-524-1001 or visit iconlasik.com. That's 720-524-1001. And tell them John sent you.
Pianos and Pianos, a proud supporter of AM 760, is offering piano lessons for only $19 each. Their state-of-the-art facilities offer grand and vertical pianos, teaching you the joy of playing, as well as learning to write your own music with the latest computer technology. Play all styles, including classical, new age, contemporary, gospel, and more. Just $19. Yes, that's only $19. Only at Pianos and Pianos. Call 303-933-9390. That's 303-933-9390.
Consumer Reports, some common camera goofs. I'm Ernie Sprantz. As part of a test of digital cameras for the July issue, Consumer Reports surveyed some 8,200 online subscribers about the care and feeding of their digital cameras. Many failed to make the best use of their new point-and-shoots. 66% didn't regularly clean the camera lens. You should clean the lens before each use. This minimizes the risk of focusing problems and blurry areas on pictures. 45% left photos in their camera for at least a month. Photo files should be copied to a backup device, like a hard drive, soon after capture. This reduces the risk of theft or deletion. 39% didn't know whether the camera had scene modes, image stabilization, face detection, or burst mode. These features make shooting easier and can improve your photos, so check the manual for features you may be unaware of. 28% of those surveyed told us they cleaned the lens with a shirt sleeve, household tissue, or canned air. you should clean your lens gently with a microfiber lens cloth and lens cleaning fluid. This way, you won't scratch or otherwise damage the surface. And finally, for those upgrading to a newer camera, 13% disposed of their old camera in the trash. If possible, sell your current camera, give it away, or recycle it. I'm Ernie Sprent for Consumer Reports, online at consumerreports.org.
Or the end of July. Now, as promised, we've got on the line Dr. Michael Permenko, a family physician at Primary Care Partners in Grand Junction. As we mentioned, Grand Junction getting a lot of attention for its innovations on health care. Dr. Permenko, thanks for taking the time this morning.
Well, thanks for having me on. It's great to be here.
Tell us, just give us an overview of what's going on in Grand Junction, why the area has gotten so much attention, and what specifically you think perhaps Congress and the White House can learn from what's going on in Grand Junction on healthcare.
Yeah, and that's why I'm so happy to be here. This is a very timely conversation with the current debate going on. And where we're at the Senate Finance Committee level. You know, Grand Junction offers a good model for how to get cooperation going and collaboration going to create better cost savings and increase quality in a healthcare at a micro level. And some of the models that we have here could be used at a national level. And what we do here is we collaborate and focus on the community through our nonprofits. Our local health plan is nonprofit, our hospice, our home health, the hospitals here, and our QHN. And through that cooperation, we've provided some of the best Medicaid access in this whole state, which is unparalleled, not in the state, but even in the region, not only for Medicaid folks, but also for pregnant women that are uninsured through a program we call B4 Babies. And so, you know, what is it about Grand Junction that's important as far as debate today and right now? It's the fact that, you know, as we look and we drive for healthcare reform, we got to keep our eyes on the prize. We want universality, you know, universal healthcare for folks, and we want it affordable. And we shouldn't lose track of the eyes on the prize. And right now, I think some of us are being distracted whether or not there's going to be a public plan. Well, Grand Junction offers some really good evidence that we can get to universal care and affordability with the use of nonprofits and co-ops. And I know there's some listeners out there that are probably rolling their eyes right now, but there's evidence in pockets around this country that that plan actually works.
Well, I'm not sure, but do you oppose a public plan? Or are you saying that a public plan would be a good thing, but even if we don't have it, there's still some things we can do?
Exactly. I am not opposed to a public plan. I'm as tired of the for-profit insurance companies as many folks out there listening right now. And, if they went away tomorrow, gosh, I'm not going to lose any sleep. You know, the profit sharing that's been occurring at that level is grotesque when we have so many people uninsured in this country.
Well, let me ask you this, We're talking to Dr. Michael Permenko, a family physician at Primary Care Partners in Grand Junction. Grand Junction making some headlines in the healthcare debate for being one of the places in the country that has made some great strides in cost containment and also quality of care. But here's when I hear nonprofit, you know, I hear people remind me, well, you know, a lot of the Blue Cross Blue Shields, if not
right.
all of them. Are nonprofits, right?
Right? Right.
So, you know, it sounds great. Okay, great. It's not for profit, but Blue Cross Blue Shield is a giant insurer. A lot of people think that they're part of the healthcare problem. So why, when knowing that, should people hear nonprofit and co-op as opposed to public option and feel better?
All right, David, that's a wonderful question, and that's the element of this that. You know, that's the proper question after the information I just gave you. If you just have a nonprofit that's 2,000 miles away from a community, you've essentially got some of the same problems that you have now with the for-profits. You aren't having an entity that's looking back at the community and saying, hey, let's invest in that community. These folks that are outside of a community are invested in something else. And the nonprofits we have here are all locally based. So if you can write legislation that has a more locally based nonprofit, and create incentives in that legislation that say there's going to be reinvestment in the community at the local level.
Well, what does the geography change? Meaning, I get the idea that, I mean, I call me cynical, but I get the idea that there would be among the people running a nonprofit, there should be, if you're right in the community, more of a concern for the community because they're the folks that you live and work near, as opposed to a giant nonprofit to, as you said, 2,000 miles away. But at the end of the day, I can't believe that the main thing that would convert a giant Blue Cross Blue Shield behemoth into a more sensitive, more caring, more compassionate local nonprofit is just geography. There's got to be some economics to it as well.
Right. Well, and most of the plans now are talking about a guaranteed issue. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So suddenly, part of this problem is solved. Is focused.
And by guaranteed issue, you mean that they can't discriminate against you based on pre-existing conditions.
Right. So other elements of the legislation, I mean, most of them are talking about guaranteed issue out there.
Right.
Okay. So that element, what do people dislike about the for-profit insurance companies right now? Well, they're going around telling, selecting the best patients, the healthiest patients, and not taking the patients that are sick. And so if you do away with that practice and you make them have guarantee issue, okay, and then you also say you're going to have a comprehensive basic health benefits package with that, which they're talking about as well in the legislation that's out there. If you have those elements, what more can you gain beyond with a public plan that you can't get with some of the ideas coming out of Grand Junction? And that's the question I pose. I'm not here to argue that you got to do it this way with a nonprofit and a co-op. I'm here to argue that as from a more progressive thinking standpoint, we shouldn't lose our eyes on the prize. Universal health care that's affordable. And if we are so hell-bent on saying that this has to have a public plan, we might lose that prize.
Well, I hear that argument, and we're talking to Dr. Michael Promenko, a family physician at Primary Care Partners in Grand Junction. Again, Grand Junction making some headlines for its innovations on delivering lower cost health care and with great quality results. And I the politics of this are, I think, you gotta push as hard as you can for a public plan,
right,
and you gotta be willing to go all the way up to the brink. I don't think we're at the point yet where it's a matter of, all right, look, I think what you're referring to is at the very end when members of Congress really have to decide a yes or no vote on the final package. What should they do? And the issue is, I may agree with you that in the theoretical sense, you may not want to sacrifice the entire bill if it doesn't have the public option. However, the bill might not also have a number of other things in it because of the more time that goes on, we keep seeing this thing get watered down. But I hear what you're saying, and I think in the meantime, we've got to push as hard as we can for a public option because that'll make the final bill, I think, a lot better. Here's a question. And I've been reading about what's been going on in Grand Junction. I mean, it seems to me that a lot of the focus has been on, first and foremost, there's better integrated electronic medical records in Grand Junction, which the President Obama has said is key to any kind of healthcare reform and efficiencies. There's also this issue with transitional care, where when you get out of the hospital, there is more of a focus through physicians and nurse practitioners to make sure the patients continue to take necessary medications. The healthcare community tries to intervene early when problems develop. And I know my brother is a physician here in Denver. He was a hospitalist. Now he's a nephrology fellow. And I know that the whole issue is, trying to prevent as much as possible readmission, because that, obviously, when you go into the hospital, that costs so much more money. My question is, why haven't insurance companies for instance, outside of Grand Junction and throughout the country, been more focused on transitional care and that kind of, really, it's a form of preventive care, when it should theoretically save the insurance company money, right? The insurance company shouldn't want you to go back into the hospital. That theoretically costs them money. I mean, unless they get into the situation of just denying you care. But I don't understand why that's such an innovation. Shouldn't that be common sense everywhere?
Oh, absolutely, David. And I think you're seeing symptoms of the depletion of primary care out there. To get good transitional care and coordination of care, you have to have a team that can do that. And without the primary care focus that so many areas of this country have, you know, it's just been depleted.
Right.
You can't get those transitions of care. I mean, it's the primary care doctors in those offices and this term medical home that's being used that drive that process. Here in Grand Junction, the local nonprofit incentivizes me to go visit my patients in the hospital, even if I'm not the primary doctor taking care of that hospital. That helps the coordination of care. That helps the patient get out of the hospital sooner. That helps to make sure that when they do leave the hospital, they're ready to leave. And we're being given incentives to be participating in the care even when they're in the hospital.
That's, and you're talking about economic incentives. Which is not a bad thing. I mean, you know, we live in an economy, and it has been shocking to me. I mean, I'll give you just my teeny little example. I went to China a couple weeks ago, and before I went to China, I had to get a bunch of immunizations based on, you know, CDC recommendations. And my health insurance plan, it's a Blue Cross Blue Shield plan. They don't cover the immunizations, and I'm thinking this is insane. Right?
Well, that's ludicrous.
Because if I go to China and I get, you know, if I get hepatitis or something like that, I catch something that I could have been immunized for and I didn't take the immunization, I come back and I've got a huge medical bill that I'm covered for. Now, maybe they deny me coverage when I get back. Who knows? But the point is here, you're absolutely right. This idea of preventative care and ongoing care and transitional care. This to me is like, if we don't rejigger the system and put more of a focus on that and more of a focus, and you're right, and you mentioned the idea of the fact that there really is a primary care shortage of primary care physicians, that the economic incentives reward not primary care, but more specialized triage care, really, not the initial primary care. That really, really is a huge part of this problem. Dr. Michael Promenko, he's a family physician at Primary Care Partners in Grand Junction. You know, I hope you'll check back in with us as this debate moves forward and we can talk about some of the specifics. I mean, there's so much washing around in Washington. We're not really sure what the specifics of this bill are. But when we get more details on this, I hope you'll come back and we can go through it and you can tell us what you think is the right move, what you think is the wrong move.
Oh, I'd love to be back, David, and thanks for having me on your show.
Sure. Thanks for taking the time.
All righty.
That was Michael Promenko, a family physician at Primary Care Partners in Grand Junction. Again, Grand Junction getting a lot of attention for its innovations on healthcare cost control and quality of care. You can read, there was a New Yorker article that you should be able to find online by physician Atul Gawande, who referred to Grand Junction. Also the Denver Post, I guess it was 2 days ago, a story by Michael Riley, Nation Studies Western Slopes Low-Cost, High-Quality Care. And just so you know, Michael Bennett, the senator from Colorado, has introduced a bill that would provide incentives for communities and hospitals to create coordination teams similar to those used in the Grand Junction model. So Grand Junction really in the microscope here. I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. It's 7:37 on July the 30th, one more day of July, going up into the 70s today. After the break, we will open up the AM 760 Progressive Dojo and ask the question whether there's all sorts of racism, classism, and I think undemocratic tyranny going on in the healthcare debate. We'll see what you think about that. But first, a traffic update with John Turk.
No tyranny on the roads yet this morning, Dave. Accident free around the metro. We do see some heavier jams. No traveling westbound on the turnpike. A couple different stretches going to be bogged down. Sheridan to Church Ranch. And again, from Table Mesa all the way into Boulder at Baseline. Southbound 225, stop and go. Normal spot, Parker Road down to 25. Also heavy jams southbound 25 coming into Denver from the north end. First
in North Glen, 104th to 84th. Speeds in the 30s there. Same deal after I-70. And we got some heavy traffic east and westbound C-470. If you're traveling eastbound in Highlands Ranch at Broadway, westbounders going to tap the brakes at Quincy. In the high country, got some scattered showers falling between I-70 or on I-70 between C-470 and Vail, rather heavier west of the Eisenhower Tunnel. Also getting reports of blowing snow, flurries on Berthoud Pass. Crazy July weather in Colorado. That's why we live here. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Babies cry. So what's your plan? Learn the important steps every parent must take to protect their child from shaken baby syndrome, the leading cause of trauma death in Colorado kids under 2 feet. Visit calmacryingbaby.org today.
Ed Schultz.
The moment you realized you could be your own boss was big. Now comes another moment. The economy has changed and you need guidance. At Wells Fargo, we're with you when you need someone by your side. With our free business financial review, we'll evaluate your banking needs to help ensure that you have the right tools in place so you can keep doing what you love. We're a small business financial leader, so rest assured that we can help you. Call, click, or stop by and talk with a Wells Fargo banker today. Wells Fargo. Together, we'll go far. Wells Fargo Bank, N.A., member FDIC.
I didn't become Magic Johnson overnight. I had to set goals and go for them. If your goal is getting the best for your family, Rent-A-Center puts it in easy reach. Choose from top-name brands like Sony, Ashley, Whirlpool, and more with no credit checks, no credit needed. And Rent-A-Center backs it all with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Because sometimes we need a little assist with our goals.
Money-back guarantee must be exercised within the first week of possession. See rentacenter.com for complete details.
My name is Marcia, and I'm an empath, so I can feel what other people are feeling. I'm also clairvoyant, so I can see clearly where relationships are going, where people's lives are going. At California Psychics, we thoroughly test our psychics to make sure they're professional, have real gifts, and communicate clearly. Only 2 out of 100 psychics who apply are selected. California Psychics is legitimate because of the screening process that I personally went through. I had to give readings. They had the readings confirmed. They had different people check me out. And it was an intense process. That's why California Psychics promises that if your psychic reading isn't the best you've ever had, it's free. Just call 1-800-PREDICT, 1-800-PREDICT, or visit CaliforniaPsychics.com. My purpose in life is to help other people to realize who they really are and to empower them to reach their goals. Call 1-800-PREDICT or visit CaliforniaPsychics.com. And if your psychic reading isn't the best you've ever had, it's free.
7:41 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I'm David Sirota, filling in here for Jay Marvin. All right, the question of the hour: Do you feel unrepresented in the healthcare debate? I made this point right at the end of the broadcast yesterday that you've got 6 senators from the smallest and mostly the whitest states in the country, the least diverse states in the country. 6 senators: Max Baucus of Montana, Olympia Snow of Maine, Jeff Bingaman of New Mexico, Mike Enzi of Wyoming, Chuck Grassley of Iowa, and Kent Conrad of North Dakota. The U.S. Senate has basically outsourced the entire job of writing the health care bill to those 6 senators. And they happen to be representing, other than Bingaman from New Mexico, which is has a large Latino population, they happen to be from very, very sparsely populated, not diverse states, undiverse states. The Congressional Black Caucus, and I should say, additionally, the 7 Blue Dog members of Congress who have been stalling this bill in committee. The big news today is that the Blue Dogs are celebrating the fact that they forced the health care bill to be stalled for the rest of the summer, that they're celebrating this. Those Blue Dogs are mostly Southern Democrats, again, from extremely undiverse, very white districts. Together, the 13 of them are all white, and 12 of the 13 are white men. The Congressional Black Caucus has said this is not a coincidence that the members of Congress who have, these 13 members of Congress, the 6 senators and the 7 House members who have hijacked the debate have done so in part because they don't have in their districts a representative population of the communities that are disproportionately impacted by health care. African-American communities, the Latino community, because of their economic station, they are disproportionately impacted by the success or failure of health care reform. That's just a basic fact. And so the Congressional Black Caucus has said this is not a coincidence. They haven't charged racism, but they've said it's not a coincidence, basically, I'm paraphrasing here, that the folks holding up health care reform are themselves all white and represent the least diverse parts of the country. And I ran the math on this. Just want to let you know that. First of all, these folks represent just 4% of the population. And I think forget about race and all that stuff. I think there's a problem when Congress, which represents 300 million people and is making health care reform for 300 million people, simply outsources the entire job to 13 members of Congress who represent just about 12 million people. Right? I'm not comfortable, just as somebody who lives in Colorado, that my legislators have no seat at the table in the negotiations. That people representing the smallest, most sparsely populated states in the country have commandeered, completely taken over the entire healthcare debate. That makes me, I believe in one person, one vote, and I don't feel represented. On top of that, I ran the numbers here, and when you look at, in aggregate, the population that these folks represent, whereas, for instance, the United States is 13% African American and about 15% Latino, the districts that the population that's being represented at the healthcare table have half those populations, about 6% African American and about 8% Latino. So is there, it's not racism, it's not overt racism. I'm not saying that the legislators themselves are racist, but is this an example of what Bill O'Reilly celebrated, for instance, as the white male power structure? O'Reilly was celebrating that. Has this effectively locked out the minority communities who were disproportionately affected by health care reform from the health care debate? And if you don't think that this demographic and racial issue plays into the health care bill and the health care debate, just listen to this snippet of a dispatch from NPR that was reported just before President Obama yesterday visited Appalachia, Western Virginia, a place that he lost. Just listen to the kinds of things, the way the debate is being framed.
And University of Virginia political scientist Larry Sabato says Mr. Obama needs to persuade them that his plan would leave them better off.
Unless Obama and the Democrats can get more support for the health care reform plan from whites, middle-class whites in particular, I doubt they're going to get the whole enchilada.
Indeed, even some Bristol residents who are struggling with health costs aren't embracing the president's proposal. Yesterday at the Burger Bar, a downtown diner, Richie Drake was eating a late breakfast. Drake's unemployed, disabled from his job as a sheetrock installer. His children are on Medicaid. But he wants no part of the president's reforms.
The health care plan he's got, Obama, is going to hurt people in the long run. Minorities are going to get more attention than the whites and stuff like that. That's the way I take it from what the news was talking about.
So you heard it right there. You know, this is the way part of the debate is being absorbed by the American public. You heard that constituent there say, oh, I think minorities are going to do better under this plan and at the expense of white people. Is there a problem in this debate of a lack of democracy, a lack of diversity at the table that is making these healthcare decisions? Give us a call, 303-713-7600. Weigh in on this question. Is there racism, subtle racism, latent racism at the heart of the healthcare debate? Do you feel represented? Are you comfortable as somebody in Colorado with the fact that 13 congresspeople, senators and congresspeople, have commandeered the healthcare debate, and none of them are from Colorado. 4% of the population's representatives are making policy for the other 300 million of us. Are you satisfied with that? 303-713-7600. We'll take your calls right after the break. We'll get into it. I'm sure there's going to be some fireworks, so stick around. Again, 303-713-7600. I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin. Let's get a traffic update with John Turk.
Thank you, David. Southbound 25 becoming a real nasty situation up in North Glen. Stop and go conditions now existing. 104th down to 84th. Speed's also bogged down there once you get closer to downtown around 58th Avenue. Same deal in Aurora, southbound 225, heavy, first from Colfax to Alameda, but speeds in its teens. Parker Road down to the I-25 interchange. Also seen some heavy traffic on Turnpike. Westbounders, Sheridan to Church Ranch, again from Table Mesa to Baseline, and eastbounders going to tap the brakes after Pecos. One crash, our first crash of the morning, Colorado and Louisiana, two cars involved there. Also looking at some weather. Happening in the high country, scattered showers on I-70 between C-470 and Vail. Also reports of flurries on Berthoud Pass. Your forecast today, patchy fog and drizzle to start, then mostly cloudy with a high around 72. Scattered thunderstorms also on tap for late this afternoon. Your current downtown temperature is 55 degrees. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
What can you do if your baby is crying? If nothing seems to work and you're getting frustrated, you should put the baby in a safe place like a crib, playpen, or car seat, and take a little break. Learn to recognize when you're frustrated and protect your child. For more tips, visit calmacryingbaby.org.
Right now at the Home Depot, get special deferred financing store. Right now at the Home Depot, take 10% off appliances of $398 or more and get free delivery. No rebates, no hassles, no strings attached. We even have free haulaway, which combined can save you up to $79 on top brands like GE, Maytag, and LG. Save not once, but twice. 10% off appliances and free delivery. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Through August 5th in U.S. only, see store for details.
From Consumer Reports, Questions of Health. I'm Ernie Sprantz. You're wondering, does grape juice have some of the same health benefits as red wine? Probably, though red wine may offer extra protection. Both are high in flavonoids, plant compounds that may protect the heart by inhibiting blood clots and possibly increasing the level of good HDL cholesterol. But the alcohol in wine may provide an additional anti-clotting benefit. Of course, too much alcohol poses serious risks, and both beverages pack about 190 calories per cup, so drink them in moderation. Your doctor has suggested minimally invasive surgery for back pain. Is it worth trying? Only as a last resort. Such surgery uses smaller incisions than the standard operation, but nearly half of some 1,100 readers who underwent back surgery said recovery was longer and more painful than expected. And most back pain resolves on its own in about 6 weeks. When it doesn't, acupuncture, chiropractic care, or exercise often help. So consider surgery only if other options have failed. Your wife applies makeup daily. Is it dangerous for her to inhale the dust from facial powder? That's unclear. People exposed to very large amounts of those powders, such as workers in manufacturing plants, may be at higher risk of lung disease and certain cancers. But there's little research on the amount people breathe in while applying their makeup. I'm Ernie Sprantz for Consumer Reports, online at consumerreports.org.
You're a lot happier than when they came in. So give us a holler and stop by, have a cup of coffee with us, and learn what we're doing. It could benefit you tremendously and could benefit future generations to come tremendously if we take a look at your finances.
And that number again is 303-694-1600. Mike Spear and his team at Presidential Brokerage, again, 303-694-1600. Give him a call. Mike, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, buddy, thanks.
Take care.
Is your computer running slowly? Does it take more than 3 seconds for your email to load? Are you getting pop-ups? How about spam? Well, if you're experiencing any of these symptoms, your computer and your privacy are at risk. Because these are the telltale signs of a virus. It'll only get worse until you act. Get a free diagnosis at mycleanpc.com and optimize your PC.
I got the free diagnosis, and now my computer is lightning fast.
My computer never crashes anymore.
Talk about optimization.
My computer isn't even this fast at work.
MyCleanPC.com will remove spyware, viruses, and virus-infected emails, all while optimizing your PC performance. It's all-in-one protection, and it's been raved about by USA Today and Computer World. The diagnosis is free. Just log on to MyCleanPC.com. Even if you have antivirus software, your computer could still be infected. Find out instantly with a free comprehensive diagnosis at MyCleanPC.com. If your computer is running slowly or you're still getting pop-ups, you need to get your free diagnosis from MyCleanPC.com. That's MyCleanPC.com.
Here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin. We're talking about whether you think there may be racism and at least a lack of democracy going on in the healthcare debate. The Congressional Black Caucus pointing out and writing a letter complaining about that, quote, seven non-diverse Democrats on one of three committees are holding the bill hostage. The Congressional Black Caucus pointing out that the 13 members of Congress, the six senators and seven House members who are holding this bill hostage, come from some of the least populated, least diverse states in the country, and do not have representative populations of African Americans or Latinos that are representative of the country at large. They have much lower populations than the country at large, and those are the populations that will be, are among those that will be most disproportionately affected by health care reform. Do you think that is a form of subtle racism, or as Bill O'Reilly called it when he celebrated it, the white male power structure? What do you think? Give us a call, 303-713-7600. Let's go to Janie in Laramie, Wyoming. Janie, you're on AM 760.
Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to talk to you about political realities in Wyoming, because you talk about one person, one vote, and democracy and representation. Well, in Wyoming, if you're not a Republican, your vote doesn't count for anything. So talk about non-diversity.
Yeah, I mean, what you're talking about is tyranny of the majority, right? Which is basically, you know, because we don't have a proportional system of electing members of Congress, if you vote for the loser, you basically have no representation. And in Wyoming, which has been such a rock-solid Republican state, Democratic voters have probably felt pretty, you know, locked out of any kind of representation. And so there's that. And then there's the other issue, which I don't know how you feel as somebody from Wyoming, but, you know, as somebody from, for instance, Colorado, I'm not comfortable with the fact that Mike Enzi, who represents 500,000 of, or 600,000 of folks in Wyoming, has one-sixth of the control of a debate for a health care bill that's going to affect 300 million of us. I mean, that just is not democratic. It's no offense to the people of Wyoming, but the state's voters, and as you're saying, particularly the state's Republican voters, have an unbelievably huge seat at the table, and millions and millions and millions of Americans have no seat at the table. And, I mean, that's part of the lack of democracy, obviously, in the Senate, where, you know, Wyoming's two senators have as much legislative power as, for instance, the two senators from a state like California, which has 16 million people. And I think what we're seeing is really the downsides of that. It's not a coincidence that that system is generating a health care bill that is not what most Americans want, according to polls. And, you know, again, it's no offense to Wyoming folks. It's just a fundamental lack of democracy. And as you say, you're right. It's compounded by the fact that Wyoming has been a one party state. So even the Democratic voters in Wyoming are have no representation. I mean, Mike Enzi is not representing a rank and file Democrat in Wyoming. Janie, thanks for the call.
Okay.
All right. Real quick. We'll do Jim in Lakewood. Jim, you got about 30 seconds.
Well, I just wanted to say that I think the issue of disproportionate representation is a major issue, but I still think that the Obama administration is failing to get its message out in terms that people can get and understand. And it's possibly because there are six health reform bills now floating around in Congress, three in the Senate.
And you're right. I think the Obama administration has been off message. They need to clarify. You're absolutely right. And they haven't done that yet. Thanks for the call. All right, stick around. We'll continue opening up the AM 760 Progressive Dojo after the national news.
Now there's a lot of ways you can stay connected to us. You can listen to AM 760 on your iPhone, BlackBerry, and AM760.net. Live streaming courtesy of Pianos and Pianos. AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk, and AM760.net. Stay connected.
How would you like to lose weight for free? Hi, I'm Steve Bostick for Right Size Smoothies.
And I'm Scott Johnson. For a few months now, we've offered an incredible deal to the public. Use Right Size Free for 2 full weeks and see how much weight you can lose before you pay for them.
But some of you haven't called, so we're offering one last chance to take advantage of this popular offer. These people called.
I lost weight within a couple days. Now I'm down 120 pounds.
A free trial sounded like a no-brainer, so I called. Within the first week, I'd lost a lot of weight.
I knew within a few days I finally found the answer. I've lost 44 pounds.
Right Size Smoothies contain an appetite manager called Apamine that knocks out hunger cold. You'll see results early, so you'll know you can do it.
How much weight can you lose in 2 weeks? Try Right Size Free and find out. You could be our next testimonial.
For your free 2-week trial, call 1-800-900-0805. That's up to 30 free smoothies. 1-800-900-0805. 1-800-900-0805.
AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder. On your iPhone, BlackBerry, and AM760.net.
CBS News, I'm Frank Settapani. Unsafe buses and trucks. They should be off the road, but they're not. CBS's Barry Bagnato tells us why.
Hundreds keep rolling by changing their names to evade shutdown orders and avoid large fines. That's the finding of a congressionally ordered study led by the GAO's Greg Kutz.
It's kind of like going to the mall and buying a new set of clothes. On the outside, you look different, but on the inside, you're the same.
The federal agency in charge has increased oversight, but this report says agency computers still aren't fully capable of tracking reconstituted companies. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
It's settled. Michael Jackson's mother will get custody of his three children. Debbie Rowe, the birth mother of two of the three, will be allowed to visit, but Jackson family lawyer Londell McMillan tells the CBS News Early Show no money changed hands.
We will go to the courts and we'll be united, and this will not be about money.
The Labor Department is reporting an increase in the number of workers who filed new unemployment claims last week, but Stuart Hoffman and other economists believe claims will continue to trend lower over the next few months.
The first thing is they have to stop falling before the economy can recover, and I think this is signaling a much smaller job loss.
A report out today puts the number of home foreclosures in the first 6 months of the year at 1.5 million, an all-time high. And critics say some lenders would rather foreclose on borrowers who fall behind than cut them a new deal, because they can make more money by collecting fees on delinquent loans. Mortgage newsletter publisher Guy Sakella says the bigger problem is how much lenders stand to lose by giving homeowners a break.
You've got a $200,000 loan and you're foreclosing and you're only going to get $150,000 back. That gives you pause to rush through it.
In Washington, the House Energy and Commerce Committee is settling in to begin work on the latest version of health care reform. The committee could begin voting on the bill today. Thousands of anti-government protesters marched to an Iranian cemetery in tribute to demonstrators killed during last month's post-election violence, but the opposition leader, Mir Hussein Mousavi, wasn't allowed to take part.
Mousavi came to the site of the funeral. He got out of his car, and within a minute, he was surrounded by police force who escorted him back into his car and forced him to leave the cemetery.
Los Angeles Times correspondent Borzu Daragahe in Beirut. An Afghan who was about 12 when he was sent to Guantanamo Bay as a suspected terrorist could be going home soon. The government has agreed to release Mohammad Jawad. Defense lawyer Jonathan Hafitz says he'll believe that when it happens.
We hope he's definitely getting out, but this has been such a nightmare. And so many crazy things have happened that, we still have some concerns.
A food safety bill that failed to pass the House of Representatives yesterday will be put to a second vote today. The bill would require more government inspections of food companies. In early Wall Street trading, the averages are higher. The Dow Industrials are ahead now 129 points. This is CBS News.
This year, Discovery Channel's Shark Week puts fear back in the water.
1 minute she was there, the next second she was gone.
And with more attacks, more stories.
It was freaking huge. He came by like a submarine.
And more survivors.
I can still hear that scream.
It'll be over before you know it.
Here it comes. Get ready.
Shark Week. Fear returns. Sunday at 9. It's all new on Discovery.
Hey, what are you doing?
What do you mean, what am I doing? I'm dancing. Woo!
Yeah, yeah, I see that.
Yeah, I got the stack of cash with the googly eyes. I love him. Some money I'm saving with Geico. It was so easy.
Yeah, 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 I got that. But there's just one thing.
What?
You're dancing at work, John.
Yeah, I am. Woo! Woo! Woo!
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. To get a free rate quote, go to geico.com.
I'm David Kao with an AM 760 local news update. Higher cab fares in Colorado as the state PUC has approved a 20% across-the-board increase.
The fare for people going between Boulder and DIA will increase from $70 to $84.
The cab fare from DIA to downtown will rise from $43 to $51. It's the first fare increase in 10 years. If you love Denver's trails, you have good reason. They're the best in the country. That according to Parks and Recreation magazine, which ranks the Mile High City's 100-mile-plus system of paved off-road trails as tops in the nation. The magazine calls the trail system a hiker and biker's dream come true. And the Greeley Firefighters and Police Unions have voted to forego pay increases next year to help the city cover a projected budget shortfall of at least $7 million. City officials estimate the union's action will save more than $850,000. Sports, Rockies and Mets rained out last night. They'll play a day-night doubleheader today. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Kale. Now Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
That's where all of a sudden the Denver Drive's starting to get busy, not only in volume, but in crashes. We've got a highway accident westbound 6th Avenue right around Kipling, starting to really back things up as you're leaving Denver, heading towards Lakewood. There's a crash on the south side. This is on the ramp from eastbound C-470 to southbound I-25. We've got a car versus semi wreck. This occurred southbound I-25, just past 58. Now it's off to the right shoulder, but catching some looks. Some slow stretches to be aware of, southbound 2 1/4. This is after that Parker curve up towards I-25. Westbound 76 loading up Federal to Wadsworth. Time for a quick check on today's forecast. It's going to be a cool day temperature-wise with a high in the low 70s. It's going to be very chilly in the overnight low, dropping down to 53 degrees. Haven't been used to temperatures that low. There is a chance of seeing some thunderstorms after 2. Currently, it's 55 degrees. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Whether you're a business owner or a corporate CFO, your goal is the bottom line. With the full range of distinctive products and services, Colorado State Bank and Trust can help your business succeed. Call 303-863-4478. Long live your money. Member FDIC.
Right now at the Home Depot, get special deferred financing store-wide with your Home Depot.
Safe retirement question number 25. Want to know how to never lose your retirement and still take advantage of the stock market? Stop gambling with your retirement dollars. Tune into the It's Time to Cover Your Assets show, Saturday afternoons at 12:30, right here on AM 760.
Financing. More saving. More doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through August 5th, U.S. only. See store for details.
I really want to compliment you.
I want to compliment you.
I'm a conservative, but I really want to compliment you and your show.
Jay Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show.
Jay Marvin Show.
Hey, Jay Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
The health care plan he's got, Obama, is going to hurt people in the long run. Minority is going to get more attention than the whites and stuff like that. That's the way I take it from what the news is talking about.
Well, you heard it there. There is the race debate in the healthcare debate, and that's what we're talking about here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin. We are asking whether you think there is a racial component to the healthcare debate. Six senators from the least populated, least diverse states in the country have commandeered the healthcare debate. Another seven House members over in the Commerce Committee, all from southern undiverse districts, districts that do not have the ethnic and demographic diversity that the rest of the country has. The Congressional Black Caucus has sent a letter to House Speaker Pelosi saying that they have concerns with the health care debate being commandeered by, quote, an undiverse group. And I wonder if you think that there is a racial component of this. I think there's clearly an anti-democratic component to this in the sense that 13 members of Congress representing just 4% of the American population have hijacked the entire debate over a proposal that affects 300 million of us. And that's because the Senate is really not a democratic place at all, small d Democrat. When you have Wyoming's two senators, for instance, they represent 600,000 people having the same legislative clout as the senators from Colorado, which has 4 million people. That's not democracy. And so I think we have that problem. And when you have a country that strongly supports health care reform, and then a Senate that really is gutting health care reform, then this might be an explanation. And somebody has corrected me. Thank you for correcting me. California has about 35 or 36 million people. I don't know why I said 16 million. Maybe it has 16 million voters. But my point here is this lack of democracy that we're seeing in the healthcare debate, is this responsible for healthcare being watered down? And is the fact that the populations like the Latino community, like the Black community, which will be disproportionately impacted by healthcare reform, is the fact that they are not, that their representatives are not at the table at all, that the people who are making the policy don't represent decent-sized or representative-sized populations of African Americans and Latinos? Is this watering down the healthcare bill? Is this killing the healthcare bill? Is this why the healthcare bill is being watered down? If a congressperson doesn't have the communities disproportionately impacted by healthcare reform in their district, aren't they going to be more likely to do what the insurance industry wants? What do you think? 303-713-7600 is the number. Again, 303-713-7600. We got a couple open lines here at 810 on AM 760 Progressive Talk. One more day in the month of July. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Matt in Arvada. Matt, you're on AM 760.
Hey, David. First of all, I want to say it's been great to listen to you. You're doing a great job.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
I think that's probably due in large part to your being married to a social worker.
that's exactly. I credit her for everything.
You know, as I listen to this argument, I think racism is real in the United States of America, and the only question is how impactful is it at any given time? But I also think it distracts from a maybe equally large issue, and that's the socioeconomic disparity and the growing gap between those who have and those who don't.
Well, what's weird about this, or maybe it's not weird, and this is what my column is going to be on coming out tomorrow in newspapers, which is when you look at the populations of these 13 members of Congress, the poverty rates are higher in their districts. The per capita incomes are lower in their districts than they are in the rest of the country. So they represent disproportionately poor districts. So you would think, you know, universal health care will disproportionately help poor people.
Right.
And so you would think that somebody representing a disproportionately poor district would be more inclined to help pass health care, not more inclined to stop or obstruct health care. And so, I mean, what do you think's going on?
Well, I think that's where I would question whether racism comes into it. Because as I listen to that guy from Virginia, I mean, he's so blinded by his issue that he can't see the bigger picture, which is he stands to benefit. I mean, his community stands to be empowered, and I don't know what the demographics of his community are, but those who don't have as much money stand to benefit.
No, and I think that's right, and I think that's why race is playing a factor in a number of ways. I mean, there's race and economic class. are they're very, very intertwined in this debate. I mean, I think that, you know, you heard that NPR report. What was funny is the guy's railing on government health care. And
his kids are on Medicaid.
And his kids are on Medicaid, right, exactly. But his concern is, well, I think universal health care will disproportionately help African Americans, right? It will disproportionately help poor people, and more African Americans are disproportionately more poor than the general population.
And to me, the issue is privilege. And when we think about privilege in the United States, we pretty quickly go to racial and ethnic issues with good reason.
That's right. I mean, that's why.
Let me tell you what, there's socioeconomic privilege too.
Absolutely. And I think that this is what I'm really saying here is that in race and socioeconomic status are very, very related. Right?
If we could move through racism and deal with socioeconomic issues, then we'd see something happening, because then I hate to say this, because then you start to be called socialist or communist or whatever, but then we'd start to deal with privilege.
That's right. That's right. That's why I'm saying I don't think that race is determinative in this. I think, though, that you can't look at a debate over health care which would disproportionately impact people of color. You can't know that fact and then look at who has commandeered the healthcare debate. You know, members of Congress who are 12 out of the 13 are white men. All of them are white, and all of them represent the least diverse, the most sparsely populated states in the country. You can't know those two things and say, and just say, oh, that, you know, there's nothing going on, you know, race is not playing a factor. I mean, I'm not saying that these members of Congress are racist. What I'm saying is that systemic racism, it's not a coincidence that certain demographics always find themselves on the outside looking in to the debates that disproportionately will impact them, right? I mean, you've got, you know, an African American and a Latino community that will be disproportionately impacted by the healthcare debate, and they basically have no seat at the table because those who are at the table disproportionately represent districts with lower African American and Latino populations than exist in the country at large. Those are all basic facts, and you know, you got to ask the question. Hey, thanks for the call, man.
Okay, thank you.
8:15 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Does race play a factor in the healthcare debate? 13 members of Congress, all white people, representing, again, this is the key thing for me, not just that they're white, but that their districts and states are disproportionately less diverse than the rest of the country, and they are holding up healthcare reform. Is that playing a role? You heard the NPR clip where a guy in Appalachia says that he's worried that health care reform will disproportionately help minorities and hurt white people. Do you think the politics of race is playing into this? Or is it just the politics of economic class? But if that was the case, then why are the members of Congress who are opposing health care? I mean, they represent disproportionately poor districts. Shouldn't they be the ones championing reform rather than opposing it? What do you think? 303-713-7600. I know it's a controversial topic, so get on in here and feel free to oppose me if you think I'm wrong. Couple open lines, 303-713-7600. Let's go back to the phones. We'll go to Anita in Aurora. Anita, you're on AM 760.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi. Hi, Dave. How are you doing this morning?
Good.
It's really unfortunate that race is even a factor in this health care reform. I mean, it's kind of sad to hear, and I've been listening to you yesterday. I'm listening to you today, and you bring up some very good topics. I listened to the guy that had the comment about healthcare reform helping blacks and Hispanics more, and it's kind of funny because we only represent 12% of the country, and I think Hispanics are about the same. I don't understand where all this fear is coming from with race in this country. I'm not understanding that. And I do understand that there are a lot of poor whites in this country as well as blacks, depending on where you live. There's a lot of people struggling. I just wish race wasn't a factor in this.
And I agree with you. And I think, look, I think, you know, empirically, healthcare reform is an economic class issue. I mean, if you're a poor African American, or you're a poor white person, or you're a poor Hispanic person, this is going to help you. I mean, the race is not a determinative factor at all in whether universal health care will help you. You know, your economic situation is determinative. I also don't buy the argument that this will help poor people and hurt wealthy people. I don't buy that. I mean, I don't think it's a zero-sum game like that. I think we all have, you know, health care, because we haven't controlled costs, because, you know, we haven't covered everybody, the cost of it is spiraling out of control, and that hurts everybody. But I think this raises the question. There's so many questions this raises. I mean, just going back to the structural racism, why is it that in a nation where we have 12% or 13% African-American population and 15% Latino population, that those communities are disproportionately underrepresented among the 13 people who've commandeered the healthcare debate? I mean, that's just an example, I think, of structural embedded racism.
Well, I agree.
And I think that, and then when you get down to the micro level, this fear that you heard in some parts of the country that, oh, well, I may be poor, but, you know, I'm worried that healthcare reform is only going to help minorities. Look, that is an echo of really the backlash to the civil rights movement that the Republican Party and conservative movement really pioneered in the late 1970s and early 80s.
I want them to keep doing it, because all they're going to do is turn people away. People are tired of this. People are ready to go forward. A lot of people. I mean, I talk to different kinds of people all the time. People are ready to go forward. I know people are tired of this racism. People have their preconceived notions of what people are and what they're not exposed to, what they think they should be, which is fine. But when you're affecting people with health care, I don't have health care, and I'm black. I have two children at home. We have no health care. I cannot afford it right now. I was out of work last year for 7 months. Four of those months, I had no income. I struggled last year. I finally got a job in November. I'm very thankful for that. I'm on the verge of just trying to start all over. And I want health care for me and my kids, decent health care. We have not gotten sick in the last year and a half, thank God. But, you know, I'm hoping at the end of this, something comes out of it positive, and we all can be on the ball.
And that's what I'm hoping for. And I think you've made the point that you've made is that the fact that you've been struggling with healthcare is not because you're African American. It's because you were out of work, and so many people are out of work in a terrible, terrible economy. And you know, I think that ultimately, my hope is, and you and I are both hoping this, that the economic concerns of working people will trump all of these issues. I mean, the what's amazing to me about who is holding up healthcare reform, beyond the fact that they are disproportionately white, is the fact that they are also, these districts are disproportionately poor. So these are the very people who should be pushing healthcare reform. Then you ask, well, why aren't they? And I think, you know, I think the answer is pretty clear. They're bought and paid for. They also happen to be among the members of Congress who've taken the most amount of money from the health insurance companies.
I've looked into it. I've looked into it. It makes me angry.
It makes me angry too, Anita. Hey, thanks for the call. Thanks for the call. 822 on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin. Is race a factor in the health care debate? I know that's a controversial topic. After the break, we'll play you a clip that may get you thinking about it. Stick around. Let's get a traffic update with John Turk.
Well, Dave, traffic sucks for us right now. Really heavy in the normal spots, southbound 225. I-70 to Alameda, again from Parker Road onto the Tech Center. Also looking at some single-digit speeds and speeds in the teens. Southbound I-25, 120th now these backups go to 84th. Got a crash westbound 6th Avenue right near Kipling. That's causing delays back around Wadsworth. Also got a crash on the ramp from eastbound C-470 to southbound I-25. That's in the cleanup phase. Got a couple other crashes to let you know about. One, a rollover southbound I-25 near Decono, and another two vehicles involved at Colorado and Louisiana. If you're in the high country, look out. Got some scattered snow showers, or rain showers, forgive me, on I-70 between C-470 and Vail. But if you're on Berthoud Pass, getting reports of blowing snow. Your forecast, mostly cloudy, patchy fog in the a.m., slight chance of rain showers as well, then scattered thunderstorms in the afternoon, highs in the lower 70s, right now we're at 55. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
At the freeway, we do deals your way, every day. After rebates, get a brand new escape.
Hi, my name is Alan Matthews, owner of 3M Construction. Have recent storms damaged your roof, siding, or windows? Time to file your claim could be running out. Don't get scammed by out-of-town predators knocking on your door and sponging off our local economy. Call a local company that you've heard of. 3M Construction has the experience to give you a quality job and the knowledge to work with your insurance company to get your home repaired fast. Call us today, 303-774-8005. That's 303-774-8005. 3M Construction, a proud member of the Better Business Bureau.
This is John Elway. When it comes to vision correction, Icon LASIK has the most experience in Colorado. Icon uses the latest laser technology, including bladeless LASIK, at affordable prices starting at $499 per eye. All reasons why I selected Icon LASIK. You should too. Schedule your free LASIK consultation today at 720-524-1001 or visit iconlasik.com. That's 720-524-1001. And tell them John sent you.
Skin, joints, focus, and heart health. To find out how to get your free trial, call now, 1-800-700-1392. It's pharmaceutical grade, it's ultra pure, and our formula offers up to 3 times the power of ordinary fish oil, so you know you're making a great choice. Isn't it time you tried something that was great for your body and your wallet? Try it before you buy it, and I'll send you my new book, The Best Kept Secrets to Healthy Aging. The number for your free trial and free book is 1-800-700-1392, but you have to call now. Now, 1-800-700-1392. 1-800-700-1392.
Right now at the Home Depot, get special deferred financing store-wide with your Home Depot consumer credit card. That just might be the final piece of the puzzle if you're taking on a tile project. Save money with our new lower prices. Learn how to do it yourself for less in a workshop. Then pay for it much later with special deferred financing. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through August 5th, U.S. only. See store for details.
Hey, what are you doing?
What do you mean, what am I doing? I'm dancing. Woo!
Yeah, I see that.
Yeah, I got the stack of cash with the googly eyes. I love him. Some money I'm saving with Geico. It was so easy.
Yeah, I got that. But there's just one thing.
What?
You're dancing at work, John.
Yeah, I am. Woo!
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. To get a free rate quote, go to geico.com.
Randy Rhodes.
I mean, this is amazing because this is what they say liberals are doing. Liberals want to be in every facet of your life. They won't be happy until they control everything you do, everything you see, everything you say, till you eat like a tube and think like a tube and raise your kids like a tube. And meanwhile, this is what they're into. They want to be in every orifice that you call life.
The Randy Rhodes Show, weeknights at 7 on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Hey, 26 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin. It's going up to into the 70s today. Rain in the forecast. It's probably sprinkling out there already. We need a real summer. I'm getting sick of this. Let's play that clip. The question before on the table is race playing a role in the healthcare debate? And just to set the stage, listen to this clip from NPR. Let's get the full clip. Listen to it and then think about it and then give us a call. 303-713-7600. Here we go.
and University of Virginia political scientist Larry Sabato says Mr. Obama needs to persuade them that his plan would leave them better off.
Unless Obama and the Democrats can get more support for the health care reform plan from whites, middle-class whites in particular, I doubt they're going to get the whole enchilada.
Indeed, even some Bristol residents who are struggling with health costs aren't embracing the president's proposal. Yesterday at the Burger Bar, a downtown diner, Richie Drake was eating a late breakfast. Drake's unemployed, disabled from his job as a sheetrock installer. His children are on Medicaid, but he wants no part of the president's reforms.
The health care plan he's got, Obama, is going to hurt people in the long run. Minority is going to get more attention than the whites and stuff like that. That's the way I take it from what the news was talking about.
So you hear that. That's just a rank and file voter saying that it's his perception that minorities are going to benefit at the expense of white people if universal health care passes. I've been making the point that you've got 13 senators and House members who've hijacked the entire debate, are trying to water down the health care bill. That's the news this morning. They have stalled the bill. They have stripped out the major provisions of it. They've really gutted it. And they happen to come from the smallest, least populated, and least diverse states in the country. The Congressional Black Caucus has said this is not a coincidence that such an undiverse group of lawmakers, and they are all white lawmakers, the 13 of them, are the ones who are stymieing health care. Their underlying point is that if these legislators had representative populations of African Americans, Latinos, and minorities who would be disproportionately impacted and helped by universal health care, if they had those folks in their district, they'd be less inclined to oppose health care reform. What do you think? 303-713-7600. Is there racism in the health care debate? Is it impacting the health care negotiations on Capitol Hill? John in Fort Collins. John, you're on AM 760.
Hey, David. Good morning. How are you doing today?
Good morning.
You know, I wouldn't call it racism, but there is definitely some social demographics playing in. But the point I wanted to make was these are all senators, is my understanding. I just tuned in, so.
Yeah, well, you've got six senators and you've got seven House members.
Okay. Well, I feel the senators have a little more leeway. They have a right to represent their state. That's their constituency. The benefit of the entire state. If it's a Wyoming senator, they've got to look out for the whole well-being of the state. The representatives, however, depending on where they are, where their constituents are, demographics are going to play a much larger part in that. It's not necessarily racism, but there's.
Well, but why wouldn't demographics play into a senator? I mean, you know, Wyoming has less African Americans than probably three square blocks in New York.
Right, but he's representing. I mean, you get two senators for every state, right?
Right.
He's not representing the population. He's representing the state. Wyoming doesn't want to play into this. If his senator feels that that's the best thing for the state to do, then he's going to vote that way, whether or not the population will play a part. If there was 100% African American or another currently minority ratio in Wyoming, the senator would vote differently. But he's not representing the Democrats.
Right, and so that's the question. The question is that when you look at the group of senators and congresspeople who are blocking health care reform, is it a coincidence that they themselves are all white and that they represent districts that are far more white, far less diverse than the rest of the country? Is it a coincidence that those are the folks who are blocking health care reform?
It's not a coincidence, not at all. But I feel that it is excusable when you look at the bigger picture.
All right.
Now the important thing is that their fellow congressmen and women need to stand in and tell them a thing or two about the realities of what this plan is intended to do.
Well, that's exactly right. And I mean that's actually the problem here is that where are the other members of Congress saying, hey, this is not a bill that should be written and commandeered by 13 of us, right? There's 300 million people here. I want our congresspeople, as a Coloradan, I want our congresspeople to have input in this. Right now, they have no input. The 13 people are, you just read the paper this morning, 13 people are literally driving the entire train. And that, to me, is, it's unacceptable. It is absolutely unacceptable. And I think, you know, you're right. I agree with you. It's not a coincidence that the people who are obstructing health care reform are the ones who represent the smallest, least diverse states in the country. Just like, by the way, it wasn't a coincidence that the senators who filibustered civil rights laws in the 60s were those who represented southern segregationist states. This is not a coincidence. Now, does it mean that the individual senator is a racist? No, that's not what it means.
Absolutely not.
That's not what, you're right. That's not what it means. It means, though, that there is a structural bias in the system.
That's important to realize, sorry to interrupt, that we're not in that utopia yet that the civil rights movement pushed us so much farther into.
That's right.
I'm not a racist. I'm a 22-year-old college student, but that doesn't mean that I'm biased towards anybody based on the color of their skin.
No, that's right. But that also doesn't mean that you have to pretend, which you're not, people don't have to pretend that there isn't structural bias, structural racism.
Exactly. And would I be in college if I were a minority who had been raised in an entirely different neighborhood? I mean, there's a lot of factors that play into it.
Right. I mean,
or evil, it's just the circumstance that we're in.
That's exactly, that's right. It's the system. Hey, thanks for the call. Great call, John. Give us a call again.
Take care, David. Well,
all right, let's go to Phil. Phil in Denver. Phil, you're on AM760.
Hey, how you doing, David? Welcome back.
Thanks, man.
You were talking about this kind of has echoes back to the civil rights movement. I actually think the echoes are further back than that. If you look at the history of slavery and slave owners in the United States, initially the slaves and the poor white people in the South actually got along pretty well. But what happened is that the slave owners, who were a very small minority of the population, very wealthy small minority of the population, became afraid that they might, both of those groups might realize how they were being taken advantage of. So you create this incredible racism, and so you have this whole poor white population that, okay, you may be bad off, but at least you're not as bad off as these black slaves, because they're not people, right?
Right.
And so what we've done time and time again is the wealthy, powerful in this country, in my opinion, have used racism to turn poor white people against their own interests.
No, you are exactly right. And this gets discussed so little in our debate, which is that wealthy and powerful interests have done a masterful job of turning people who have the same economic interests against each other based on their ethnic and racial differences. And that is exactly what you heard in that NPR clip, where the guy who is on, whose kids are on Medicaid, the guy who's out of work in Appalachia, a very economically depressed part of the country, is saying he doesn't want universal health care reform because he's afraid minorities will disproportionately benefit at the expense of white people. That is exactly what's going on. It's divide and conquer. You're exactly right. Phil, thanks for the call, man.
You bet.
All right. One more call before a break. We'll go to Liz. Liz in Fort Collins. You're on AM760.
Hi, Dave.
Hey there.
Hi. I really enjoy your shows and articles. Getting back to your with the Congress people, I think some of these fellows like John Kerry and other people that put themselves in this national spotlight, they have to get larger than themselves and think about the nation instead of just their constituencies. And so I think it's okay for us to call them.
Yeah, I think people need to be called, and I think that I think the national interest isn't being thought of here, and I think, you know, this is what I'm going to say in my column tomorrow, which is that I think that what's going on here is that the members of Congress, the 13 members of Congress who are stopping this bill, they represent sparsely populated states. And you got to follow this train of thought with me, where because they're sparsely populated states, TV airtime is cheap in those states, right? It costs not a relatively small amount of money to put ads on television in Wyoming as a as compared to putting ads on television in, let's say, statewide in California. And that what that means is it's cheaper for a special interest to buy the member of Congress from a sparsely populated area, right? Because the campaign contribution goes farther, because the campaign contribution is really just how many ads you can buy for that congressperson and that senator's reelection. And so the very people who are hijacking the debate are the cheapest for the health insurance industry to buy. And that is not a coincidence. And so what you have is, and that really does explain, I think, why these 13 members of Congress, how they can represent disproportionately poor districts, which would disproportionately benefit from universal health care, and still be against universal health care, because they are bought, because they are the cheapest to buy. They are not thinking about the national interest, and they need to, Liz. You're exactly right. And the only way that they will be made to is if they're made to fear by their electorate that they will be voted out of office. Thanks for the call, Liz. 8:38 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I'm David Sirota, filling in for J. Marvin. It is it's still in the 50s out there, going up in.
We haven't moved much this morning, Dave.
Yeah, it's like Seattle, Washington out there. I know. Give us a call, 303-713-7600. Is there racism, structural racism, latent racism? Is there overt racism happening and affecting the health care debate? You heard, we'll play you that NPR clip again, where you will hear, I think, a pretty overt example of it. What do you think? I know it's a controversial topic. 303-713-7600. Let's get a traffic update. John Turk.
You got it, Dave. They did just clean up that crash westbound 6th Avenue at Kipling. So things still going to be heavy there, but are starting to improve speed-wise. Only place I'm seeing stop and go right now is coming out of Aurora, southbound 225 there after the spillway. Going to hit the brakes. Not going to break loose until you get to 25. Also traffic, westbound 36, Table Mesa to Baseline as you're heading into Boulder. And on the south end, eastbound C-470, pretty full from Broadway to Quebec still. A couple of accidents out there. One, a rollover on the north end in Weld County, southbound I-25 near Decono. Also got two cars involved in an accident at Broadway and Alameda. Your forecast, patchy fog and drizzle to start the day, then mostly cloudy with a high around 72. Scattered thunderstorms also on tap for this afternoon. Your current downtown temperature, 55 degrees. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Need to find a reliable business? Did you know that the Better Business Bureau can connect you to trustworthy businesses? Just ask Dale, CEO of your Denver Boulder BBB. Get the information you need before you spend money. Visit denver.bbb.org. That's denver.bbb.org.
Hey, if Congress forces this radio station to pay a performance tax to foreign record labels, you know what you get? Yep, nada. Say bye-bye to things you love to listen to. Weather, new music, community service. See ya. Congress knows this station already pays to play music. If radio is forced to pay more, you'll pay the price. Go to SaveYourRadio.org to tell your congressman to support the Local Radio Freedom Act. A message from this station and the NAB.
Hi, this is Sally Field. I always thought calcium and vitamin D and exercise would keep my bones healthy, but I got osteoporosis anyway. So my doctor started me on once monthly Boniva, and he told me something important. Boniva works with your body to help stop and reverse bone loss.
Boniva Ibandronate Sodium is a 150 milligram prescription tablet for postmenopausal osteoporosis, CRAD, and Weight Watchers. Don't take Boniva if you have low blood calcium, severe kidney disease, or can't sit or stand for at least 1 hour. Follow dosing instructions carefully. Stop taking Boniva and tell your doctor if you have difficult or painful swallowing, chest pain, or severe or continuing heartburn, as these may be signs of serious upper digestive problems. If jaw problems or severe bone, joint, and or muscle pain develop, tell your doctor.
I've got this one body and this one life, so I'm doing my best to build strong, healthy bones. Ask your doctor if Boniva is right for you.
Boniva, help stop and reverse bone loss. For a free trial offer, call 1-800-4-BONIVA or visit boniva.com.
Where is my life headed? Will I find true love?
Should I change careers?
When you have important questions, California Psychics has answers. Over 150 gifted psychics available 24/7, helping people just like you. and California Psychics makes this promise. If your psychic reading isn't the best you've ever had, it's free.
My California Psychic experience was primo. I was just astonished. I never expected that.
Secure and confidential. California Psychics has done over a million readings. Just call 1-800-PREDICT. 1-800-PREDICT. And if it's not the best psychic reading you've ever had, it's free.
First, I had the chills and I felt choked up.
Our psychics will help you find love, happiness, and your true life path. Need someone to listen? Call 1-800-PREDICT or visit CaliforniaPsychics.com. 1-800-PREDICT or visit CaliforniaPsychics.com. Remember, if your psychic reading isn't the best you've ever experienced, it's free.
I definitely think California Psychics was the best psychic reading I've ever had.
Still in the 50s, going up to into the low 70s, although rain in the forecast. My only question is, where is the summer? Hopefully it comes back for a little while longer. Let's play that clip. We're asking whether you think racism, structural racism, or even overt racism is playing into the health care debate. The 13 members of Congress who are obstructing health care are all white and represent disproportionately undiverse congressional districts and states. Is that a coincidence? Listen into this clip from NPR about President Obama's trip yesterday to Appalachia to push for health care.
And University of Virginia political scientist Larry Sabato says Mr. Obama needs to persuade them that his plan would leave them better off.
Unless Obama and the Democrats can get more support for the health care reform plan from whites, middle-class whites in particular, I doubt they're going to get the whole enchilada.
Indeed, even some Bristol residents who are struggling with health costs aren't embracing the president's proposal. Yesterday at the Burger Bar, a downtown diner, Richie Drake was eating a late breakfast. Drake's unemployed, disabled from his job as a sheetrock installer. His children are on Medicaid, but he wants no part of the president's reforms.
The health care plan he's got, Obama, is going to hurt people in the long run. Minority is going to get more attention than the whites and stuff like that. That's the way I take it from what the news was talking about.
So you heard it right there. Sounds to me like there is all sorts of racial politics simmering underneath this health care debate. And again, I think that the math shows that there is some kind of racial bias here. If you got 13 members of Congress who happen to represent districts that are less diverse, way less diverse than the country at large, it means that many of the communities, like the Latino community, the African American community, that have a particular vested interest in healthcare reform are just not, they're underrepresented in that healthcare debate. What do you think? 303-713-7600. Michael in Littleton. Michael, you're on AM 760.
Yeah, I was calling just to say that, you know, I think I'm a situation where I'm a make a fairly decent amount of money, and we're in a situation where we have to get a group policy because my wife, who just has asthma, and my daughter, who had some physical therapy, but she's perfectly fine now, they would be declined for individual policies. I just went to work for a small business, and so because of that, I have to drive the whole business to get a group policy. And, you know, this isn't a situation where, you know, I'm poor and don't have any savings. I mean, this is just a flat-out situation where, you know, they want to deny me because of some simple pre-existing conditions. And I really take issue with people that are like, oh, this is a class warfare. You know, well, no, I'm on the higher end, and I got issues. You know
and that's the thing. If it is class warfare, quote-unquote, at all, you could only argue that it's, and I don't even argue that it's class warfare. People, you have to make such an astronomical amount of money to be really unaffected or not threatened by the current healthcare status quo. And I say that because, let's say you're making $150,000, $200,000 a year. You're at the top 4%, statistically, you're in the top 4% of income earners in the country if you're making that much money. The issue here is if you lose your coverage and you get into a car accident, you'll be bankrupted in a week in the hospital if you don't have health care coverage. You know, the only people who were really genuinely unaffected or not threatened by the health care system as it is now are really multi-millionaires, right? You go spend a week in the hospital, and you will easily rack up a five-figure, if not a six-figure, medical bill if you get denied coverage. And that's why this is your right. It's not class warfare. It really does affect everyone. But I think it is also fair to say that, look, the people that it most affects, I mean, you are currently right now, you are threatened with a situation. Somebody who has no health care and can't afford health care, they're even more threatened. So it's great. The thing is, it's like gradations of problem. There are people who have serious problems like you're facing right now, and then there are people who have, like, you know, almost like emergency serious problems. You know, it's like super, super serious problems. It's just gradations of really big problems. So you're right. It is not class warfare. And getting people to that realization, I think, is what President Obama is trying to do when he's stumping out around the country. Michael, thanks for the call, man.
Thank you.
Catherine in Denver. Catherine, you're on AM760.
Oh, yes. And hi, Dave.
Hi.
My point was that, yeah, not only do I think that it's class warfare, I do think that the racial component, it's being deliberately fanned. That's why you see people like Michelle Mockin going on to the Today Show and saying that Obama is a racial opportunist, and you see Fox News fanning the flames and questioning his birth in the United States. And so I do think there is definitely a racial component, and that the people who have an interest in keeping the status quo are doing everything that they can to divide the poor white people in this country against the minorities.
I think that's right, and I think that's the strategy behind the conservative push on, you're right, on the birth certificate, to fan the flames in this Henry Louis Gates situation, to make it a giant, a bigger controversy than it already was, and specifically bringing in Obama. The whole goal is to make Obama, because he's black, look like he is motivated only from his ethnicity, that he's a special interest politician, that because he's black, he's only legislating for black people. That's the goal. I mean, that's how Jesse Jackson was destroyed in the 80s. That's how every black politician has been vilified in American politics for the last 40, 50 years since the end of Jim Crow. You know, you're not allowed under the law to overtly racially discriminate. So in the political system, what happens is black politicians who raise questions about economic issues, about racial issues, are portrayed as acting only out of their ethnicity, only for their ethnic group, being a race-centric politician. And the reason that the Republicans and the status quo does that is because that's the way to marginalize them. That's the way to alienate those politicians from the rest of the country. And you heard in that NPR clip, the guy saying, I think this health care reform is just going to help black people and at the expense of white people, that's one product of that disgusting right-wing marketing working. Catherine, thanks for the call. Give us a call again. 850 here on AM760 Progressive Talk. I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin. Let's get a traffic update with John Turk.
I hope Catherine is enjoying her Java chip frappuccino. I got to hear her order her coffee while I was screening her.
Very nice.
Yeah,
sounds,
man,
pretty good. I'd like one myself.
I tell you what, these coffee names just keep getting crazier. But anyway, traffic. Let's get to traffic. Starting to clear up a little bit around the freeways. Our heaviest jams in the normal spots, southbound I-25 there as you're approaching downtown. Also got some stop and go, though, Downing Street up to around Hamden. That's a little bit unusual. Also, heavy westbound Turnpike, Table Mesa out to Baseline if you're trying to get into Boulder. A little sluggish on westbound 6th Avenue due to an earlier crash around Kipling. Also got a rollover crash on southbound I-25 up in Weld County. It's near the Decono exit. Also got a two-vehicle accident at Broadway and Alameda. Looks like the rain has ceased in the high country. May have some snow showers down here. Your forecast today, mostly cloudy. Also got some patchy fog, slight chance of rain showers throughout the day. Scattered thunderstorms this evening, highs in the lower 70s, right now 56 in Denver.
John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
When it comes to managing your money, having a trusted advisor who understands your long-term goals is your first priority. Colorado State Bank and Trust can help. Call 303-864-7204 and discover what they mean when they say, long live your money. Colorado State Bank.
When you opened your business, there were a lot of people with you, standing by your side as you follow your dream. But now that you're established, who's with you? At Wells Fargo, we're with you when you need help. With our business financial review, we'll evaluate your business's needs to help ensure that you have the right tools in place so you can keep doing what you love. We're a small business financial leader, so rest assured that we can help you. Call, click, or stop by and talk with a Wells Fargo banker today. Wells Fargo. Together, we'll go far. Wells Fargo Bank, N.A., member FDIC.
Attention Boulder County residents. Did you know you can go solar now with no money and one low annual payment? Rebates and tax incentives can reduce the cost of a solar system by up to 60%. You could save as much as $40,000. Learn how Wednesday, August 5th, 7 p.m. at the Louisville Recreation Center. Save up to $1,000 more just by attending this event. RSVP at solaripsc.com/climatesmart or call 303-443-0115. Independent Power Systems, the Coors Field Solar Expert.
Really, really sick. And coming October the 10th, I'm going to Philadelphia. Actually, it's Lynnwood, New Jersey, to have two operations to fix what's wrong with me. And I just want to thank everybody. I just want to thank all of you for all of your support, all the emails, all the letters. And I also really want to thank Rocky's Autos, 63rd and Federal. They have been just great to me. So I'm not going to tell you to go there and buy a car. I'm not going to get into any of that. I just want to take 60 seconds, sponsored by Rockies, to thank you and to thank Rockies. I really do love you, and thanks for all of your support. Rockies Autos, 63rd and Federal.
Attention homeowners. President Obama just passed the Homeowner Affordability and Stability Plan. If you own a home and you're having trouble making your payments or facing foreclosure, we can help. Call the U.S. Loan Assistance Center at 800-590-5390. We now have the ability to stop foreclosure proceedings, forgive late payments and penalties, take your adjustable rate mortgage to a fixed rate, and reduce your mortgage payment to as low as 2%.
We were 3 months behind on our payments, and the U.S. Loan Assistance Center was able to get our mortgage company to take the payments we were behind, put them on the back of our loan, and lower our interest rate. Now we have a payment we can afford.
Simply call 800-590-5390. Again, that's 800-590-5390. If you're having trouble paying your mortgage, call the U.S. Loan Assistance Center today at 800-590-5390. You don't need equity or good credit. You just need to call 800-590-5390. Not available in all states.
8:55 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. In the 9 a.m. hour, we're going to talk to folks from the drop-in center about needle sharing and needle exchanges, a very controversial topic. And needles have been in the news a lot lately because of that awful scandal and situation at Rose Hospital, which is right near my house, the hepatitis C scandal. And so we're going to talk a little bit about needle exchanges and the debate over needle exchanges here in Denver. So you're going to want to stick around for that. We'll go back to the phones now, talking about whether you think there's racism in the healthcare debate. Do you think it is impacting the healthcare debate? Let's go, we'll go in the order that we received, as they tell you when you call up a call center. Let's go to Denny in Boulder County. Denny, you're on AM 760.
Hey, good morning.
Hey there.
Been raining all morning. It's beautiful up here.
I'm not a rain guy.
You know, we're at the end of a 10-year drought. The last couple of years.
Oh yeah, yeah. I know. The nature-wise, I know it's necessary. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I officially support the rain, but I don't have to like it.
I'm frustrated. It goes. You know, it seems to me that racism is so ingrained in our country. And, you know, going back to the states' rights issues, you know, the civil rights stuff and the states' rights, that was just a cover for, you know, we're not going to give these people equal rights. And this whole thing is about power and control. And the sad thing, you know, my frustration is that the Democrats are being bought and sold just like the Republicans have been bought and sold.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, it's you don't sound like you're surprised by that, and I'm not surprised by that. And the, I guess the silver lining in all of it is that at least people who are tuning into this debate are learning a lesson that both parties can be bought and sold, and that if there is not public pressure, then regular people's interests will be trampled. Denny, thanks for the call. All right, let's go to Brian in Fort Collins. Brian, you got about 30 seconds.
Okay, I'll try to make it quick, David. This very same phenomenon that you're talking about with regard to the disproportionate representatives from a disproportionately depopulated state being able to stop healthcare is also the same phenomenon that we see with regard to the whole filibuster issue. And I would encourage you to focus in on that.
Absolutely. And you'll see in my column tomorrow what I say is that there's been talk of forcing a vote on the floor of the Senate and in the House, unfilibusterable, meaning a straight-up, simple majority vote, which, of course, in the Senate isn't even representative of a majority of people, right? You can get 51 votes is not a representative majority of the country because the Senate's rigged math. But yeah, and that'll be in my column tomorrow, and I agree. I think they need to bring it to a full vote right now. All right, stick around. More after the break.
Want to take your business to the next level? Win $5,000 in advertising for your business.
Probably the best idea I have ever had.
AM 760 is offering a small business stimulus package to give your company the kickstart that it needs. Register now on AM760.net.
What do the words quality, durability, and value mean? Well, quality is a characteristic, meaning high grade, superior, excellent. Durability means long-lasting, enduring, resistant to wear. Value, the worth of something. These words apply to both Ralph Schaump Honda and Honda Automobiles. And if you do your homework, you'll find Honda always ranked one of the highest for quality and reliability, always one of the highest ranked in resale value, and you'll find Honda always has excellent finance and lease packages available. Ralph Schaump Honda has been serving Denver for 68 years with a quality of service which has kept our customers coming back over and over again and remains Denver's number one volume selling Honda dealer. So if it's quality, durability, and value you're looking for, I'd say Honda and Ralph Schaump Honda are a marriage made in heaven, always.
Turn to the left with AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder, and AM760.net.
CBS News, I'm Nick Young. There are hundreds of them, bus and truck companies still on the roads, even after they've been ordered to park their fleets. We're live in Washington with CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato.
Change your name, keep on trucking. A problem first identified after a deadly bus crash in Texas last year, magnified in a congressionally ordered probe. The report says federal agencies are playing catch-up when it comes to tracking down cheaters who avoid shutdown orders and huge fines simply by switching names. Greg Kutz leads General Accountability Office Special Investigations.
We've seen this with tax fraud, suspended and debarred companies who change their name. So we've done these types of investigations before, and unfortunately, this happens in our society today in a lot of areas.
Live in Washington, Barry Bagnato, CBS News.
New tensions in Iran today as hundreds of mourners gathered at a Tehran cemetery 40 days after the killing of a young woman, an incident that became a rallying point for anti-government demonstrators. One eyewitness says protesters set garbage cans on fire in the center of the city. State-run TV says police used tear gas to break up the rally. Los Angeles Times reporter Borzu Daragahi is monitoring the situation from Beirut.
There was an initial confrontation between some of the demonstrators and the security forces, but at some point, the sheer numbers of demonstrators were so many that the security forces either decided or were ordered to pull back.
Earlier, police had barred opposition leader Mir Hossein Mousavi from joining the mourners. A published report says the government has decided to release a prisoner. It's held at Guantanamo for 7 years since he was a teenager. The Los Angeles Times says Mohammad Jawad will be sent home to Afghanistan within the next few weeks. A federal judge is holding a hearing this morning. Jawad's attorney is Jonathan Hafetz.
We're optimistic that we're getting closer to seeing him sent home, but we're not there yet, and we're hoping to get further clarity from the court today.
A A deal is at hand. Michael Jackson's biographer, J. Randy Taraborelli, says a dispute over the custody of the late singer's children has been settled.
The parties are about to reach an agreement that will give Katherine Jackson custody of Michael Jackson's children, just as Michael Jackson wanted, just as he stipulated in his will.
Now, the mother of the two oldest children, Debbie Rowe, will have visitation rights, but will receive no money. It's been swelter weather in an unlikely area. The Pacific Northwest has been in the grip of a heat wave that sent the mercury in Seattle soaring to a record 103 degrees yesterday. CBS News meteorologist George Cullen says there is balmier weather on the way.
Today will be the last day of the extreme heat, as it'll turn just a touch cooler on Friday.
Today, the high forecast to be 98 degrees in Seattle, 99 in Portland. The Labor Department says Americans filing first-time jobless claims last week climbed by 25,000. To 584,000. Analysts say overall the numbers are trending downward. On Wall Street, the Dow is up 169 points. This is CBS News.
Are you short on cash in these tough economic times? Or perhaps you're drowning in unpaid bills? Or maybe you have jewelry that you never wear? While gold is high, you can turn your unwanted jewelry into immediate cash by calling Empire Diamond and Gold Buying Service at 1-800-728-3425. Located in the Empire State Building since 1931 and members of the Better Business Bureau, Empire has been buying unwanted gold and diamond jewelry at the highest cash prices. Their customers say they are highly reputable and no one pays more. Upon receipt of your jewelry, Empire will evaluate it, and if you decide to sell, your money will be sent immediately to you for your needs and obligations. The time to sell your broken and unwanted jewelry is now, while gold prices are still high. Call 1-800-728-3425 for details on secured shipping. This is something you should do now. You can't afford not to call 1-800-728-3425. That's 1-800-728-3425, or visit EmpireDiamond.com.
I'm David Kao with an AM 760 local news update. Congressman Jared Polis is spreading the wealth to other rookie legislators on Capitol Hill. Polis has steered nearly $150,000, most of it from his family, to some 30 members of Congress to help with reelection campaigns. The Denver Post reports 24 recipients won election in districts which had Republican representatives in 2006. Another wet day along the Front Range, and more so as you head west. Kim at A Basin is already seeing signs winter's not far away.
This morning we came in, there's snow on the top of the mountains. It's crazy. We came last night and it's still up there this morning.
We've had reports this morning of snow on Berthoud Pass as well. If you love Denver's trails, you have good reason. They're the best in the country. That according to Parks and Recreation magazine, which ranks the Mile High City's 100-mile-plus system of paved off-road trails as tops in the nation. The magazine calls Denver's trail system a hiker and biker's dream come true. Sports, Rockies and Mets rained out last night in New York. They'll play a day-night doubleheader today. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Kale. Now Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
That's where that drive between the tech center and downtown still going to take you about 20 to 30 minutes. That due to a mixture of the splashback from the rain that's coming down as well as the volume. There's also some leftover heavy pockets on both 225 as well as C-470, especially on that eastbound side before Quebec. Crews are working on a crash southbound I-25 near Decono. Now as you're coming in out of the north, not really slowing anything down. Could catch a couple looks as it was a rollover. A couple cars mixed it up, Broadway and Alameda. That one's going to be out of your way shortly. Now as far as the mountain drive goes, scattered showers along I-70 west of Floyd Hill towards Vail. It's been going on all morning, rather, and just continue. Time for a quick check on today's forecast. Now, around Denver, I mentioned those showers that are coming down. Could get a little bit heavier, especially after 2 p.m. It's going to be a cloudy day throughout, hazy, with a high near 72. Low dropping down to 53 in the overnight. Currently, it's 57 degrees. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
From roadside assistance to beachside assistance.
From Consumer Reports, savings round the clock. I'm Reese Sprantz. Early birds don't get only worms anymore. They're eligible for discounts on all kinds of stuff. Later risers needn't feel slighted, though. They'll probably find other deals. Especially in times like these, with merchants scrambling to get customers in the door, time-of-day discounts are plentiful. Here's a roundup of some timely bargains. Air travel. The cheapest time to fly depends on your route and other factors, though you'll often find the least expensive seats are on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Saturday flights. The best time to book a bargain seat is midweek, Tuesday afternoon through Thursday. Bowling. For the best rates, go before 9 or 10 a.m. or sometimes after 9 p.m. Car washes. Deals can be had if you drive in early, before 8 or 9 a.m. Farmers markets. Sellers rarely want to haul their bounty back to the farm, so look for deals near closing time. Golf. Tee off by 7 or 8 a.m. or after 3 or 4 p.m. Tennis. You'll often save by starting your game as early as 6 or 7 in the morning or late, like after 9 at night. Movies. Matinees, usually in the morning or early afternoon, are a traditional money saver. And finally, restaurants. Even some high-end places now offer early bird specials and other tasty inducements. Look for lunches starting before 11 and dinners at 4 or 5. Night owl specials often begin around 9. I'm Ernie Sprantz for Consumer Reports, online at consumerreports.org.
From Burbank, the one, the only.
Entertaining. 30 Rock is leading the way at this year's Emmys. The Tina Fey comedy, which is set behind the scenes of a fictional TV show, has been nominated for a whopping 22 awards, beating off competition from shows including The Office, Family Guy, Mad Men, and Flight of the Conchords. The ceremony will take place in L.A. on September 20th.
We all know that there's nothing worse than having to wait in line to go potty. So spare a thought for the astronauts on board the International Space Station who are having to do just that after one of their toilets broke. As teams of specialists in Houston and Moscow work on a solution, the 13-member crew also have the option of using low-tech and rather crude collection bags from the Apollo era. When it comes to operating systems for your computer, you don't really have many options. After Windows, Linux, and Mac OS X, you'll struggle to think of any more. Thankfully, the guys at Google want to add one more to the list, Chrome. Based on their 9-month-old web browser of the same name, Chrome will initially be created for low-cost netbooks and will be created with the help of the open-source programming community.
America's Next Top Model.
The winner of American Idol.
Dr. Drew has his work cut out for him.
Brace yourselves for a bit of Idol drama. Paula Abdul may not be returning for a 9th season. According to her manager, contract negotiations have stalled. And, as he told the LA Times, Paula is hurt and angry about the whole situation. There are even reports that she was reduced to tears after receiving tweets of support by her fans. Yes, she interwept. Idol returns in January.
What does somebody do in an Idol exchange situation?
Oh, I appreciate you asking that. So, and actually, I worked at a legal syringe exchange in California, so it's so logical and amazing that I appreciate this opportunity. And we actually function as a syringe exchange, doing everything that a syringe exchange would be able to do, except the inability to provide syringes. So what we're able to do is health education classes. We do a safety counts, which does HIV and hepatitis C education, risk reduction. We also do break the cycle, which is working on stopping the initiation process. We do risk reduction counseling. We have a syringe disposal because it can be an environmental risk, of course, when syringes are just laying around. And when you've created an illegal environment, people are just kind of tossing them sometimes. So we have to provide the syringe disposal. We have community referrals. Basically, a syringe exchange gives you access to the community because they can be, very finicky, very underground. And so giving them the access to do the syringe, then you can talk about health issues, make sure that myths about, some sort of health issues out there, you can kind of go through them and make sure that they know. We're looking to make sure, they get abscesses and infections and things like that, and we're referring them to the appropriate people. We do HIV and hepatitis C testing. So you really kind of get access to make sure, and then refer them to treatment. If they're ready, we can, call the appropriate community referrals and make sure we get them in there too. So a syringe exchange is, goes under the guise of harm reduction, which meets people where they're at.
And this is where people who are sharing needles, when they use drugs, a syringe exchange would help them not have to share needles.
Correct. Correct. So they would bring in, you know, like the one I worked at, they would bring in probably, you know, 10 to 25. We would exchange on a one-to-one. They would be able to dispose of them properly, and then they'd have new, fresh needles to work with. Because in 2005, actually, the CDC came out with a report saying an injector usually does it 3 times a day. So that's saying that they probably shoot 1,000 times a year, which means that we're asking them to use 1,000 new fresh syringes just for themselves, along with a fresh cooker, cotton, and the appropriate accoutrements to kind of making sure that HIV and hepatitis C isn't spread. And so we have this problem where, you know, that's 1,000 needles a year, and if we don't have the ability to exchange needles, people are having to go to just a few of the pharmacies that in the city of Denver will allow someone to buy a needle.
We're talking to Lisa Reville of the Drop-In Center here in Denver. They deal with public health issues surrounding HIV and other transferable diseases. All right, let me play devil's advocate here. What about the people who say, look, if you create a needle exchange, a legalized needle exchange, you're going to encourage illegal drug use?
Well, there's been much evidence to the contrary, and I appreciate you bringing that up because that's a lot of what people think about. You know, and so it's been very well researched and everything, but I'd love to say that there's a judge, James Gray, who did this judicial indictment on the war on drugs, and he has a quote in his book that right now we're saying if you shoot up drugs or have sex with someone that shoot ups or born to a mother who had sex with someone who shoot ups, your life is not worth saving. So we're really sending a bad message right now that we're not able to leave this as a public health issue, and a lot of times people are taking it into a moral issue. And we've had drugs for a really long time. So I think what we need to be doing is, again, working under the harm reduction principle, which is taking away the judgment, and we're dealing with reality. And right now people are using drugs, and we want to decrease HIV and hepatitis C where we can.
Wouldn't there be some kind of contradiction in the law if the law simultaneously banned these kinds of illegal drugs, but also funded the, I guess, the paraphernalia for using those drugs? Wouldn't there be some kind of contradiction or hypocrisy there?
Well, we're working, you know, right now. I mean, that's why I think that the presidents keep doing the federal ban on syringe exchange or syringe funding for syringes. We don't have a national AIDS strategy to really help us push forward with decreasing HIV and hepatitis C. So we have to kind of, you know, drugs have been around, like I said, there's the war on drugs, but we're working with people on a day-to-day basis that are in the trenches, that are dealing with this. And so while it may be controversial for some it's just so logical that we really need to be making sure we're decreasing HIV and hepatitis C, which is very high in the injection drug user community.
Right, and the hepatitis C obviously making major headlines in Colorado after the Rose Hospital fiasco. We're talking to Lisa Reville of the Drop-In Center. You can find more information about the Drop-In Center at www.myspace.com/Denver Drop-In. Has there been an effort to legalize, like other states and other communities, some kind of needle exchange? And what has happened, if there have been those efforts, what's happened in the legislature or at the county and city level?
Well, I appreciate that. But luckily, the Denver Drug Strategy Commission has voted to develop and recommend a pilot for the mayor to consider. So they're engaging with other community agencies, law enforcement, and advocacy groups to determine what's best, you know, best practices, and see, you know, if they can, you know, the mayor's open to considering a recommendation. And so the Drug Strategy Commission, thankfully, is doing a lot of the ground research to make sure that they can bring a plan to him.
Lisa Reville, the director of the Drop-In Center. Again, you can find more information at www.myspace.com/Denver Drop-In. Thanks for taking the time this morning and filling us in on an important and controversial issue. We really appreciate it.
David, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Okay. That was Lisa Reville of the Denver Drop-In Center. I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. About 45 minutes left in the broadcast. Here's what we're going to do. After the break, we'll do a news update, updating you on all the national and local news, and then we'll go back to the phones. Stick around.
the news is continues to change on this healthcare thing, even changing since our first news update in the 7 a.m. hour. So stick around for that. And we'll get back to our discussion about, I'm guessing we'll get back to our discussion about racism in the healthcare debate. I'll also play you that clip from the NPR discussion of President Obama's trip to Virginia to discuss healthcare. All that and more after the break. I'm David Sirota filling in here for Jay Marvin. Again, it's AM 760 Progressive Talk, 917 on the 30th day of July. One more day in July. Hopefully we'll get our summer back. Going into the 70s today, let's get a traffic update with John Turk.
Hey, Dave, one thing Lisa forgot to mention there, well, you know, just kind of got left out, but they are having a fundraiser on Thursday, September 17th, is the drop-in center, and that's at 775 LaPan Street from 4 to 6 p.m.
Okay, and I'm sure you can find more information, if you're interested in that, at www.myspace.com/Denver Drop-In.
Yep.
www.myspace.com/Denver Drop-In.
Just wanted to get that in there, Dave. So now I'll take your look at traffic. Really starting to clear up around the city. Normal jam southbound I-25, I-70 past Spear. Northbounders going to be dragging from University, taking you past 6th. Also busy in Aurora, 225 southbound side from the spillway down to the interchange. And also seeing traffic heading into Boulder, westbound Turnpike, showing speeds in the 30s and 40s there from Table Mesa to Baseline. Still working this crash at Broadway and Alameda. Hopefully we'll be out of your way soon. Your forecast, patchy fog and the drizzle to start the day, then mostly cloudy with a high around 72. Scattered thunderstorms also on tap for this afternoon. Your current downtown temperature is 55 degrees. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Don't get ripped off when you sell your gold. Get 40% more every day at Fast Cash Gold Centers. At Fast Cash, they shop the competition and pay you.
Attention Boulder County residents. Did you know you can go solar now with no money and one low annual payment? Rebates and tax incentives can reduce the cost of a solar system by up to 60%. You can save as much as $40,000. Learn how. Wednesday, August 5th, 7 p.m. at the Louisville Recreation Center. Save up to $1,000. More just by attending this event. RSVP at solarips.com/climatesmart or call 303-443-0115. Independent Power Systems, the Coors Field solar experts.
America's Next Top Model.
The winner of American Idol.
Dr. Drew has his work cut out for him.
As the first season of Discovery Channel's Pitchmen drew to a close, infomercial star and series frontman Billy Mays passed away in his sleep at the age of 50. The series followed Mays and his longtime business partner and fellow pitchman Anthony Sully Sullivan as they attempted to market new inventions and products. No word yet on whether Pitchmen will be renewed for a second season.
Aging benefits of 278 glasses of wine without the alcohol.
As a special offer to this station's listeners, we're offering free trials of Venitrol when you call 1-800-600-6680 in the next 10 minutes.
Venitrol is all natural, and it's packed with a powerful antioxidant that could help you live 10, even 20 years longer, despite your diet. So drink red wine with your dinner, but take Venitrol for your health.
For your risk-free trial, call 1-800-600-6680 in the next 10 minutes. That's a free trial at 1-800-600-6680.
It's 9:20 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin. Just off the wire, I am extremely psyched about this news. Castle Wolfenstein, the video game, about to come out on Xbox. Oh, yeah.
Dude, I wish somebody put Game Ground on Xbox. Remember that game, Game Ground?
No. Do you remember Wolfenstein?
No, uh-uh.
Oh, come on.
I don't remember
Castle
that one.
Wolfenstein, where you hunt Nazis inside their castle?
No, I've not. Never
played
it.
It's so great, man. Oh, man, I'm looking at the preview shots here at GameSpot.com. It is going to be awesome. And I've been playing some Halo lately, and my skills are getting better. I think it's because I've been playing multiplayer with my cousin in Chicago, who's like the best player ever. All right. Let's get to some serious news now. Here's your news update.
Good evening. I'm Ron Burgundy, and this is what's happening in your world tonight.
Okay, new poll out today. The New York Times headline for the poll is, New poll finds growing unease on health plan. Then it proceeds to write an article about how more and more of the country wants health care reform. How President Obama's approval rating continues to remain in the high 50s. and how President Obama is continued to be far more trusted on health care than the Republicans. Perhaps some of the erosion for the specific health care plans being debated has to do with this number buried in the story about the poll. 59% of people say the proposals now being debated in Congress, as they understand them, would not help them directly. And so maybe what's really going on is that the public is keying into the fact that the members of Congress are trying to water down health care and health care reform so as to make it not as powerful and transformative as it could be. Of course, the New York Times won't really write that. That's just not in their nature. News out of Iraq. Defense Secretary Robert Gates gave a speech at an airbase in Turkey saying that the United States might accelerate the withdrawal of its forces from Iraq, which is very, very good news for those of us who have been pushing for that war to be over as soon as possible. For those of us who believe that our troop presence in Iraq is actually one of the factors that is destabilizing Iraq. The Hill newspaper reports a House leadership deal with Blue Dogs and an aggressive marketing push by Senator Max Baucus, one of the largest recipients of health care money in the entire Congress, has shifted the health care debate sharply towards quote-unquote centrist positions. When you hear that word centrist, read corporate positions. The day's events left the Senate Finance Committee's bill as supposedly the most viable vehicle on Capitol Hill, but also created a full-on revolt this morning from congressional progressives who are threatening to vote against the bill because there is no longer a public option plan in the bill. There is also not an employer mandate. It's actually unbelievable. You want to see the power of business in the Congress. There is an individual mandate in the proposal. That is, you as an individual will be legally forced to buy health insurance. You will have no public option to choose. So you'll be forced to buy insurance from private insurance companies, and businesses won't be forced to cover you. So it's just the individual mandate, but no mandate on business whatsoever. That's what money buys you. News out of California, the Wall Street Journal reports that Arnold Schwarzenegger turned 62 today, and as a birthday present, the former movie star is getting the lowest approval ratings of his entire governorship. Only 28% of California residents approve of how Schwarzenegger is doing his job, versus almost two-thirds who disapprove. The question is whether his numbers will be back. I'm not so sure. Denver Post reports a food safety bill that gives federal authorities sweeping new powers to more quickly contain contamination outbreaks tripped up Wednesday over concerns about its impact on farmers and ranchers. House members considered the Food Safety Enhancement Act under expedited procedures but were delayed when those objections were raised. And the big story that the D.C. media can't get enough of, the president set to join Henry Louis Gates and Sergeant Crowley, who arrested the Harvard professor, at the White House for a beer. I think the only news out of this story is the choice of beer. Apparently, the president will drink Bud Light, which is, I mean, you got to find a better beer than Bud Light at the White House. Also on tap will be Beck's, which is, I guess, decent. Red Stripe, which is, I guess, decent. And Blue Moon, which I will offer no comment on Blue Moon. All I'll say is the White House would do itself well by calling up the folks in Fort Collins and maybe getting a good microbrew out there. Local news, Magellan Data and Mapping Strategies, a consulting firm that frequently works with Republican candidates, has released a poll on the Republican gubernatorial primary showing Scott McGinnis with an early lead over Josh Penry, the state senator. McGinnis had a 34% support among self-identified Republican primary voters compared to 11% for Penry. And most voters in that primary undecided. Forbes.com says Denver ranks 13th among the best cities for singles. In more serious news, Colorado reports its first death linked to the swine flu outbreak, heightening concern about the fall flu season when the strain is expected to surge, according to the Denver Post. Two competing rallies in Fort Collins over health care, one rally against health care, another rally for health care reform. Read about it in the Fort Collins, Colorado, competing stories there. Denver Business Journal reports that the Labor Department now says Denver has lost 55,000 jobs during the year ended in June, a 4.3% decline. Unemployment in the Denver area stood at 7.9% in June, up from 7.5% in the previous month and 5.1% a year earlier. 111,000 Denver area workers were unemployed in June. That's a lot of people. It's tough times out there right now. Greeley Fire and Police unions voted Wednesday to relinquish 2010 pay increases to aid the city's ailing budget. So Greeley firefighters and police officers trying to pitch in to do their part for their community. And the final story, I love this story. Social media and tech website Mashable reports that a 15-year-old Colorado boy named Dustin Simontov was able to lead police to his stolen property thanks to a nifty new feature of the iPhone. It's called Find My iPhone, and that's just what it did. Simontov was able to provide police with the address where the stolen phone was located. A little creepy, a little big brother-ish, but hey, it's his property. And good on him for using the technology to track down his stolen goods. That is your news update.
I'm Ron Burgundy. You stay classy, San Diego.
All right, we'll go back to the phones now. 303-713-7600. We'll get back to the topic of health care. And the question is whether you think racism or race issues are at the heart of this health care debate, or at least impact the healthcare debate. And I say that because the 13 senators and congressmen who have hijacked the debate, seven in the House, six in the Senate, who have really hijacked the whole debate, they're all white themselves. And they all represent, except for one, Jeff Bingaman from New Mexico, they all represent a disproportionately less diverse states and districts than the country at large. And we know that African Americans and Latinos, for instance, have a vested interest in health care reform. They will be disproportionately impacted by health care reform because universal health care will disproportionately help those on the lower end of the income ladder, although it will help everybody, as an earlier caller mentioned. But you've got two communities that will be really impacted by health care reform who really don't have any representation at the table. Do you think that is a sign of structural racism? And what about overt racism? Listen to this NPR clip about Obama's visit to Appalachia yesterday.
And University of Virginia political scientist Larry Sabato says Mr. Obama needs to persuade them that his plan would leave them better off.
Unless Obama and the Democrats can get more support for the health care reform plan from whites, middle-class whites in particular, I doubt they're going to get the whole enchilada.
Indeed, even some Bristol residents who are struggling with health costs aren't embracing the president's proposal. Yesterday at the Burger Bar, a downtown diner, Richie Drake was eating a late breakfast. Drake's unemployed, disabled from his job as a sheetrock installer. His children are on Medicaid, but he wants no part of the president's reforms.
The health care plan he's got, Obama, is going to hurt people in the long run. Minority is going to get more attention than the whites and stuff like that. That's the way I take it from what the news was talking about.
So there you heard it. Is that emblematic? Is that comment emblematic, you think, of the politics of health care at the grassroots level? 303-713-7600 is the number. Again, 303-713-7600. Kat in Longmont. Kat, you're on AM760.
Good morning, David.
How are you? Good.
You were saying something earlier about how much like Seattle it is today. I've been watching my thermometer. It's dropped 13 degrees just in the time I was holding. But Seattle, according to your news blurb a little while ago, it's 98.
Yeah, so I guess it's not really like Seattle. I know. We've, like, switched places with them or something.
Yep. So as I told Turk, I'm as middle-class white bread as they come, and I'm not represented in this process, not because – I think African Americans are going to get more treatment than I am, but because if I'm gleaning correct information from all the polling, the majority of Americans are not represented in this. It's the industry writing the legislation.
That's exactly right, and
And maybe that's the bigger issue here, or at least it's one of the issues.
No, I think you have brought some amazing elements to the table today. I guess I just want to say I think there are two driving forces. We've got this. I'm just disgusted at the blatant racism. You know, the manic, the first the birthers, now the deathers. It's just reached this manic level. But, you know, we all know that money walks and BS, I mean, money talks and BS walks, and there's a lot of BS walking around, disguising itself as real polling numbers. You know, the GOP keeps quoting these statistics from, I can't think of the name of it, it begins with an L, but it's basically a lobbying firm for
the Lewin Group.
For pharma. Yes, that's it. That's it. And they're just a lobbying group for pharma, and so we know that there's a lot of BS walking, and I do think we've got these two driving forces. We've got the blatant racism, and so the slightest thing, you know, all somebody has to do is stand up and say, oh, we're going to force old people to be killed, and then the people who are inclined to disapprove of Obama being president are going to run with that. But then we've got the industry driving the policy, and that is so evident with Max Baucus being part of that committee that's writing the legislation.
Oh, yeah. I think there's many things going on here, and I think at the policy inside Washington level, you've got big money controlling the process. Max Baucus, one of the biggest recipients, if not the biggest recipient of health care money in the entire Congress, is now, you know, the chairman of the Finance Committee. So you've got that inside game going. And then I think you have to believe that with all of the questions about Obama's birth certificate, which are absurd, and all of the effort to stir up racial questions with the Henry Louis Gates situation, it creates, whether it's a conspiracy or not, it just brings up those divisions which are aimed at trying to portray what Obama wants as him wanting only to represent Black people and minorities. And so you hear, so it's not shocking to hear that guy in Virginia, although it's gross.
Yeah.
It's just not surprising to hear him say, well, you know, I think this is going to help, you know, minorities at the expense of white people, because when, you know, he's existing in a news swirl, and we all exist in a news swirl.
We're all living on soundbites.
Exactly. That portrays, you know, that is aiming to portray Obama as an ethnocentric, race-motivated politician.
Which defies logic.
It does defy. And how do we know it defies logic? It's because if you're middle-class, working-class African-American, or a working-class white person or a working class Latino, you're going to benefit the same amount from this health care. The determinative factor in this health care debate is economics. It's not race.
Right.
Race is, I think, the way to divide people. And if it is determinative at all in health care, it's determinative in the health care politics.
Right.
That I think that that it's not a coincidence. It may not be causal, but it's not a coincidence that those people who are obstructing healthcare the most are those who represent disproportionately homogenous and undiverse districts with populations whose populations don't include groups that would have a real vested interest, that do have a real vested interest in reform. And I just don't think that's a coincidence. Kat, thanks for the call. 9:35 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin. We'll get to all your calls and more. The controversial topic, do you think race is playing a role, in this tumultuous debate over health care reform? 303-713-7600. Let's get a traffic update with John Turk.
Speeds popping back into the posted limits around town. No problems on C-470 between Littleton and Highlands Ranch. Both directions looking good in the 60s. No problem now as well on 225 in Aurora, just about a 15-20 minute drive between 70 and the Tech Center. Our only spot with some heavier volumes right now is on I-25 coming into downtown there, southbound side, I-70 past Beer Boulevard. But really a pretty fast and easy commute for us this morning. We did have a few accidents, but went rather smoothly. Your forecast today going to be mostly cloudy, patchy fog. Slight chance of rain showers as well. Then scattered thunderstorms in the afternoon. Highs will be in the lower 70s. Right now, 55 in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Denver Health has a variety of job openings for registered nurses and healthcare providers. For more information, visit denverhealth.org. That's denverhealth.org. Denver Health, level one care for all. Denver Health is an equal opportunity employer.
Mario Solis Marriage. Today on the Mario Solis Marriage Show.
Hello? If your brain's not responding to the signals that you're full, you'll probably continue eating.
Come on, don't be that way.
Eating and eating some more. With Leptothin, you get the message. You are full.
Oh, finally.
Visit GoGetThin.com. That's GoGetThin.com. Or call 888-700-DIET. And for a limited time, buy two bottles of Leptothin and get one free.
What's up, everybody? Now you can get Comcast high-speed internet with Power Boost for $19.99 a month for 6 months. So that means we really gotta bust our hump. I'm gonna need some experts on this one. So Mixmaster, I need you to handle music downloads.
Now, feature lyrics, look to me. You'll kick them from your laptop to your MP3.
Big Eddie, I need you to beef up virus protection.
Sure thing, boss. As soon as I find my brass knuckles.
Shutterbug, I need you to handle the photo center.
I'll do it now. Fast. Happy. Grateful. Fiat.
And White Lightning. Make those download speeds faster than ever.
Done.
Great. Get right on it.
No, I made him finish. It's done.
Get the biggest value in internet. Comcast high-speed internet with Power Boost lets you download your favorite movies and music lightning fast. And the McAfee security suite is included. Get it all right now for just $19.99 a month for 6 months. Call 1-800-COMCAST today.
Offer ends 7/31/09. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Limited to performance service for new residential customers. After promotional period, regular charges apply. Equipment installation and taxes extra. For more information, visit Comcast.com.
When you're protected by Identity Guard, you will experience an unimpeded life.
That's right. I'm going to waste even more time noodling around on social networking sites.
Our company has helped over 20 million customers of leading U.S. banks actively manage their identity exposure. So we know what the dealio is.
I will fearlessly use my credit card in any restaurant, in any city, in any country, even Brooklyn.
Identity Guard scans everything from credit bureaus to public records, alerting you 24/7.
I am going to expose myself anytime I feel like it. Oh, wait, that didn't come out right.
And should the unthinkable happen, Identity Guard covers you with our $1 million loss insurance. It will make you want to say,
let's go, life! Let's go!
Let's go, life, indeed! Identity Guard. Live a more streaming life. Call 877-ID-GUARD now or visit identityguard.com. That's identityguard.com.
Well, I believe that there are efforts to use racism as a tool by the cons, and it's used to confuse people who don't really have many experiences with people of other races. They're really vulnerable to that. But that's not the only tool. I phoned my horrible representatives about supporting health care reform that has at least a strong public option and to do it now. And that Congress critter would be Tim Murphy, the one that was running away from Mike Stark of HuffPo and Fire Dog Lake a couple of days ago, and he ducked into a store to look at pens for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's unfortunately my Congress person. And anyway, the lady who answered the phone in his office responded to my comment about supporting health care reform now with, there will be cuts to Medicare. So since there are many more elderly than there are minorities in his district, age baiting is his tool. But I think these tools are used from a bulwark of something inherent in con ideology, which is there are those who are worthy of basic dignity and human rights, and there are those who aren't, which I believe is un-American. And another insidious morsel of this ideology is that people, especially those who are struggling, need to struggle or they won't work and do the right thing. And left to their own evil devices, they'll lie, cheat, and steal from any public benefit. So they don't deserve the dignity of having the peace of mind.
Yeah, that has become so woven into the American narrative that anything that the government provides will encourage laziness. It's really a sick, insidious,
ideology. And it's to the point where, you know, and you can even take it out of the healthcare debate, right? I mean,
mm-hmm.
if a woman has a child, many countries provide some form of for the maternity period, the maternity leave period,
exactly.
Some form of support. Right,
exactly.
And we don't provide that. And one of the reasons we don't provide it is because it goes against that ridiculous ideology that says if we give something away, it'll encourage laziness. I mean, somehow we've forgotten that, you know, it costs money to rear a child and that you create problems when the child doesn't have proper parenting, proper rearing, et cetera, et cetera. So you're right. It is insidious. And as it relates to healthcare, it's particularly insipid on the healthcare debate, this idea that if we give away too much healthcare, right, if we provide it too easily, it will take away the work ethic incentive, which is just
exactly. It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous, and you're right.
It's Calvinism.
And I do think there is this way that if you listen closely, you hear these different members of Congress very subtly making distinctions between who's deserving and who isn't. And I think that's really playing a role in this debate.
That's exactly my point. However, you know, this is Calvinism is what we're really talking about. Those with resources and power, by definition, deserve incentives, carrots. And it's fine for those people to get more and more and more because they are deserving because they already have. And that's the bulwark from which the tools of racism and age division and sexism now, vis-a-vis fear-mongering about reproductive health care, is... That's where it's being launched from.
Absolutely. Bonnie, thanks for the call.
Okay, bye-bye.
Alice in Longmont. Alice, you're on AM 760.
Good morning, David. I want to call and tell you that after I talked to you the other day, I did call Polis's office. I even called the White House. And I told those people that if they didn't pass that bill, that I would never forgive them. I noticed that Polis called you the next day.
Yeah, well, I think Polis, you know, I heard from folks at the Colorado Progressive Coalition that something like 1,500 calls were made to Colorado delegates, the delegation's offices, and Polis received a huge amount of calls. So just in case folks are wondering whether somebody like Congressman Polis heard your voice, they certainly did. And, you know, that's one of the things I'm trying to do with this show, and I know that AM 760 tries to do, which is actually, you know, use the radio as a tool to not just get the word out, but to actually take action. Alice, thanks for the call.
Okay, you're welcome.
944 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I'm David Sirota filling in for J. Marvin. It's in the 50s going up to the 70s. We're asking whether you think race is playing a role in the healthcare debate. 13 congressmen and senators have basically hijacked the healthcare debate in Washington. Is it a coincidence that they represent districts that are disproportionately less representative, less demographically and ethnically representative, less diverse than the rest of the country? They are overwhelmingly white districts. All of the Congress people themselves are white. The Congressional Black Caucus says that this is not a coincidence. What do you think? 303-713-7600. David in Arvada. David, you're on AM 760.
Oh, hello. My comment would be I think that the discussion you just had with the lady previously was from a collectivist viewpoint. And I would like to say I don't believe it's racist. I believe it's the discussions going on in Congress is an economic discussion. And I believe it boils down to that the people in America who've worked hard and have accumulated businesses, et cetera, are not quite willing to give that up and give that to somebody else. I think it's pure and simple.
Well, are you implying that the people who don't have health insurance do not work hard?
No, that's not at all what I'm implying. I'm implying that the business people and, you know, whatever color they are, who, like me, started out very poor, went to high school, made good grades, went to college, made good grades, then went on to a professional school, made good grades, worked hard. I think that we're not quite willing to give up that as the American dream. I don't think that the American dream is that part of the population does that, the other part of the population doesn't do that, and that those who do then therefore turn around and support those who don't. I think that's real simple. I think that's what's going on in America. I think that you and other liberals misstate that and mislead from that.
Well, I don't judge people's, I don't make the equation, and you do. I don't equate how well somebody has done financially to how hard they've worked, or
neither do I.
Well, you sound like you are. You sound like you're saying that there are certain people who deserve.
No. That's where you and the lady before got off on a different word, and you like to spin it that way. We're not talking about deserve. We're talking about working in America, the American dream of working hard and acquiring. We're not talking about deserve. So you spin it deserve. It's not deserve. I worked hard. I'm not talking about somebody deserves something. I'm talking about what I'm willing to work hard for and pay for.
But that's what I'm saying, though, is what you're saying is that you made money. You achieved your economic status because you worked hard. Okay.
No.
That's not what you're saying?
No. Okay, let me clarify a little bit more. Because of the choices that I made, which are very clear out here in this world, they're very clear what the choices can be, and then also the willingness to work hard for that. You see,
Do you think everybody has the same choices? Do you really believe that?
Well, of course, everybody.
You really believe everybody? Okay, so let me get this straight.
Hold on, let me ask you a question.
No, I'm going to ask you a question.
Back.
You believe everybody has the same choices?
You just said you believe everybody has the same choices.
And what I'm saying is that somebody who is the son of a millionaire has different choices than somebody who is the son of somebody who's poor. They have different choices.
I grew up poor.
I don't care what you grew up. You had different choices than the son of Bill Gates.
Certainly I did, but I grew up poor. My point was very clear. It's an economic discussion that's going on in Washington. You're trying to imply that it's an emotional racist.
I'm not trying to imply anything. You're saying that you worked hard, you made money, and that people who work hard and make money shouldn't have to give any part of what they made to anybody else. That's your point. And you're allowed to be part of the me generation. That's fine. You have articulated it very, very well.
I get more than you do. I get more money than you do. I get more away.
Really?
Than you do.
Do you have access to my IRS account? You got access to my bank account?
Away.
Really? Anybody who calls up and implies that they know anything about my personal financial station, you got a problem. Okay, unless of course you're admitting on the radio that you have broken into my bank account and committed identity theft. Now, what we heard right there was a perfect example of the me. It's all about me. And by the way, did I tell you about me? Oh, and I need to tell you something about me. That's the me. I worked hard. I made my money. I owe nobody. I don't owe anybody. I don't owe society anything. And worse, what you heard is the assumption that somebody's economic station is representative of how hard they worked. Now, sure, there are examples of people who don't work hard and therefore don't make money. But there are a lot of examples, most examples, of people who work really, really hard and don't make what they deserve to make, and certainly don't make enough to pay for the basic necessities of life. Is it selfish? Is it, quote-unquote, collectivist or communist to ask for a situation, a tax system, for instance, that asks Warren Buffett, the Warren Buffetts of the world, to pay as high a percentage of their income in taxes as working people do? Warren Buffett, a zillionaire, says he pays a lower effective tax rate than his secretary. Is that collectivist to ask for tax reform that makes sure very, very wealthy people pay the same amount in taxes as working people? I don't think that's collectivist. Is it collectivist to say that as an American, you think your fellow countrymen, 22,000 of your fellow countrymen, shouldn't have to die because they lack health insurance? Well, maybe that is a little bit collectivist. Is that so bad, or is that just part of being part of a community, a society? The me people out there don't want to be part of a society. They don't want to be part of a community. They want to drive on roads funded with public taxpayer dollars. They want to use schools funded with public taxpayer dollars. They want to use, and abuse and give nothing back. It's selfishness in its purest form. And the healthcare debate has brought that out. Thanks for the call, and thanks for the example. I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. It's 9:51. Let's go to John Turk for a traffic update.
Dave, heavier volumes, but traffic still moving along pretty good on I-25 heading into downtown. Like I said, those heavier volumes up in North Glen, 104th down to 84th, again after I-70. Speeds may be decreasing in that little section. A couple late accidents, too, that might get in your way. One around downtown, 12th and Welton. Also got one 56th and Pena if you're trying to get out towards the airport. Your forecast, patchy fog and drizzle to start the day. Mostly cloudy this afternoon with a high around 72. Also got some scattered thunderstorms on tap for you. Current downtown temperature, 57 degrees. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
The Regional Air Quality Council urges you to take care of our summer air. You can reduce ozone pollution by riding your bike, walking, or taking public transit to work or school at least one day per week. For more information, go to ozoneaware.org.
Randy Rhodes.
I mean, this is amazing because...
The moment you realized you could be your own boss was big. Now comes another moment. The economy has changed and you need guidance. At Wells Fargo, we're with you when you need someone by your side. With our free business financial review, we'll evaluate your banking needs to help ensure that you have the right tools in place so you can keep doing what you love. We're a small business financial leader, so rest assured that we can help you. Call, click, or stop by and talk with a Wells Fargo banker today. Wells Fargo. Together, we'll go far. Wells Fargo Bank, N.A., member FDIC.
My name is Marcia, and I'm an empath, so I can feel what other people are feeling. I'm also clairvoyant, so I can see clearly where relationships are going, where people's lives are going.
At California Psychics, we thoroughly test our psychics to make sure they're professional, have real gifts, and communicate clearly. Only 2 out of 100 psychics who apply are selected.
California Psychics is legitimate because of the screening process that I personally went through. I had to give readings. They had the readings confirmed. They had different people check me out. And it was an intense process.
That's why California Psychics promises that if your psychic reading isn't the best you've ever had, it's free. Just call 1-800-PREDICT, 1-800-PREDICT, or visit californiapsychics.com.
My purpose in life is to help other people to realize who they really are and to empower them to reach their goals.
Call 1-800-PREDICT or visit californiapsychics.com. And if your psychic reading isn't the best you've ever had, it's free.
This is a public announcement. The New York Mint is releasing to the public a limited number of 24-karat solid gold Australian gold koala coins, along with other temporary special offers. Limit 5 per caller. Listeners may call now at 1-800-200-7709. That's 1-800-200-7709. 1-800-200-7709.
Time 54 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin. Could use like a beer right now. That last caller was got my blood boiling. 303-713-7600. We're talking about the healthcare debate. What are the factors playing into the healthcare debate? Is race playing a factor in the healthcare debate? Is it a coincidence that the people who are obstructing healthcare represent disproportionately undiverse districts? The Congressional Black Caucus says it's not a coincidence. What do you think? 303-713-7600. Let's go to Jason in Littleton. Jason, you're on AM 760.
Well, good morning, David. How are you doing?
Good.
Hey, I was just telling this to Turk here. You know, whenever I hear the conservative callers call up and just Republicans in general that are against this health care thing, conservatives and Republicans tend to usually be on the Christian side of the religious spectrum, I would say. The thing that keeps coming to my mind is the Bible says very clearly, Christ said it very, very clearly, that which you do to the least of these, you do unto me. And the fact is that if you are a very, very wealthy person, if you say you work hard, if you have enough that you have in abundance, it is your moral obligation to help the least of these. And if you cannot bring it upon yourself to do that, you can't call yourself a Christian, because that is what Jesus Christ commanded you to do. So,
well, I think that gets, you know, people don't
don't refer to that. You know, we have a conservative community, and some of the most vocal conservative parts of that community are people who don't believe in that ethic. I mean, and I think that really, if you could pinpoint a problem in our country that transcends all of the issues, health care, Wall Street reform, the economy, we are a country in the throes of a great struggle between the very, very greedy and the rest of us. And we as a country are struggling with how greedy and how selfish we're going to be. We have this. We're at the end of 30 years of scorched earth politics, which can be summed up in the Gordon Gekko bumper sticker, greed is good. And there are people who will cling to that, who really do believe that it's all about the me. And
well,
this is the great
right
struggle.
The contradiction, which speaks right to the contradiction that if you are a conservative, you consider yourself to be a conservative Christian, and yet you hold on to the ideals, the me, and the greed is good ideals, then the fact is that you're contradicting your own faith.
That's absolutely right. But I also want to be clear.
That's a big deal.
But I also want to be clear. I also don't think this is a charity issue in the sense that, you know, I think it's a fairness issue. It's not about the rich, you know, rich people. It's their as much their moral obligation to chip in. It's that rich people, the wealthiest 1%, have been the disproportionate beneficiary of government largesse, government favors, and government power than the rest of us. That's not fair. The system is weighted towards the wealthiest 1% right now. And so this is less an issue of the rich's moral, the noblesse oblige, the rich's obligation to provide charity, as much as it is we got to make the system fair. It's not fair to give away $23 trillion to financial firms, a.k.a. the richest 1%, and then slow down, stall, and gut a health care bill that costs $1 trillion for the rest of us. Hey, thanks for the call. All right, we'll do one more call here. Let's go to Noah in Thornton. Noah, you're on AM 760.
Hey, I'd like to build on that last guy's statement. Basically, the conservatives are going to say that, no, God commanded us to do charity. Well, in the modern day and age, our government is we the people. And when we make a choice, a conscientious choice as a society to go and take care of the least among us, that is putting Christ's teaching into action. We choose as a society to take care of us. The government is not a thing. It is us.
Yeah, and that's right. But I think it's both the moral obligation, but I think it's even more base. We have a moral obligation just to make the system fair, not to tilt the system. I mean, I think the system should be more tilted to those who need more the most, but I think we have first and foremost to make the system fair. And right now, a system that gives away $23 trillion to Wall Street and is not going to provide health care is not fair. All right, see you tomorrow.
I understand the passion, brother.
Mario Solis Maris.
He was fiery and excitable.
Weekday afternoons at 4.
That's what I mean.
The whole show. Now even our listeners are fiery and excitable.
On AM 7.